Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Well, hello everyone. This is Pastor Martin Luther Dierzynski Lindstedt, and here I am on the Movement Third. And essentially, this is the first one I've actually gone ahead and sitting down and actually doing. And in order to go ahead and think a few things through, I actually got a format tonight. But anyway, first I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and play the theme song to this show, and it's called Wheater Problem, which is actually a takeoff on Dave Ball's Thinking Problem from 1994. And we're going to go ahead and try to see how this thing works here. I'm not mixing anything. I'm just going to go ahead and turn the sound on, and then I'm going to go ahead and sing to it, okay? All right. Let's see. All right, try and play. Come on, Dave. Wheater problem. Wheaters always on my mind. They like to run to and fro. Stupid wheaters you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wheater problem. Wheaters always eating slop. The problem with stupid wiggers is they don't know when to stop. I wake up and right away, wiggers always on my lips. The problem with wiggers is they always think with their pecker tips. Yes, I admit I got a wigger problem. Wigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem, and they don't know when to stop. The problem with stupid wiggers is they all love to eat slop. Well, I think that's enough of the theme song, and when I get better, I'll actually go ahead and sing it, and that way I won't have to go ahead and ad-lib. But when you have a show like this, you end up having to think on your feet. But what I tried to do is I did try to go ahead and get this thing actually thought through. Okay. Generally, the subject of the Movement Third, and the main thing is what's going on within Christian identity on Pastor Visser's forum. Now, I've gone ahead and I've been in the bowel movement for, let's see, since 1994, and that's been 16 years, and since 1995 on the internet. And what happens is that once you've been around for any length of time, you end up getting to where you see the same things happening over and over and over and over again. See, just like Solomon said, there's really nothing new under the sun. And the thing about it is, there's nothing new under the sun as far as wiggers are concerned. They do the self-same thing. And what happens is that ever since the days of Cain, the white man has had Jews living among them, and Mamzers, because he can't control his own pecker, his own lust. But then again, neither could the neither could Satan nor could the fallen angels, although Satan really controlled it because he wanted to go ahead and make sure that there were the spawn of Satan to go ahead and cause trouble. So you end up always having you know, just not only stupid Whiggers, but you end up having Mamzers, you end up having the rest of them. And even if they aren't, you know, Mamzers or something in them, you end up having within Christian identity pretty well, you know, Zog is very, very, very interested in controlling Christian identity. The Ruby Ridge thing was caused by the government trying to go ahead and force Randy Weaver into spying on the Aryan Nations people. So you end up having both directed espionage against Christian identity, and you also have inherent espionage. And some of the problems, and you know, why I always go ahead and it doesn't really matter too much what the net Nazis do, because they'll always run amok. They're undisciplined, they're stupid, and generally what you end up having is a bunch of Uyghur skinhead vermin coming in and causing trouble. But I always pretty well, if I see a problem coming down the road in Christian identity, what I do is I always, always go ahead and take care of the matter right then and right there. I really don't have any choice in that, because if you don't go ahead and take care of it, you will end up having problems. These people will come in and they will, you know, pretty well just destroy you. So, the thing about it is, and I've gone ahead and discussed this quite a bit with Pastor Six Killer, and the thing is they come in and they, you know, they go ahead and they bring their Baptist hobbyist nonsense with them. And then they insist that they mean well. They mean well. And what happens is that, you know, you catch them lying. And the main problem here is that over the last week or so, here comes somebody called Obadiah 118. And she showed up a little bit over a week ago. And where she showed up from, she claimed to come from Stormfront, but I couldn't find anybody by the name of Obadiah 118 over in Stormfront. But I did find somebody named Obadiah 118 over in VNNF here. And she was on there for about a year or two. And she'd end up calling people Jews, and she ended up calling people Mamzers, and she ended up calling all sorts of stuff. And what happens is that, you know, myself, I was banned ever since the Christmas coup of 2004, because I went ahead and used the Christmas coup of 2004 as a way to go ahead and fight with Trader Glenn Miller against lenders' interest. And he's been accepting money from Trader Glenn Miller since 2004. Anyway, I got banned from VNNF way after the Christmas coup of 2004. And Pastor Visser, he got banned by Vargina, the Linder Miller meerkat, and about a month ago, after my December 28th program on William Fink's Talk Show. And Vargina went ahead and banned him, and then he went ahead and deleted where he did go ahead and ban him. And it didn't show up on Google, so I wish I'd gone ahead and saved that thing. But so much for free speech for whites. But the thing about it is Obadiah 118 was allowed to be on there, you know, to go ahead and be on there. And the reason he, she, or it was banned, because what happens, Obadiah 118 is obviously a gender bender. What happens, he, she, or it talks like it's a female, and then he goes ahead and he'll throw something that jars people to where people think it's a he. Like, I was looking at porn. Well, most females don't have a porn addiction. It's usually a male thing. So what is it? And the answer of it is that Obadiah, in addition to being a liar, is somewhat of a gender bender. Nobody knows what even sex this critter is, because it goes ahead and jars. Well, the VNNF tards, they caught up on that. Old Stevie Buck caught, you know, Steve B of VNNF, he caught up on that. But essentially, Obadiah 118 was allowed to go ahead and run wild on VNNF, violating all the rules, calling people Jews, and the reason she was, whereas myself and Pastor Visser were banned, is that she is a perfect example of what they call a Christian identity tard, a fool, an idiot. And she was allowed to be on there for a long time, because she made Christian Dandy look like a bunch of idiots who are the very example, the shining example of supposedly the Christian identity is going to go ahead and overthrow the government, and what it's going to do is it's going to go ahead and establish a police state and be a bunch of tyrants. And that's not the case at all. That is not the way we do, and that's not the way we act. But what happens is that you end up having these people, and they come in, and they act like they think they get to go ahead and determine anything and everything about Christian identity. And no one heard of them before. None of them heard of them before, and as a result, they run, you know, they go ahead and they insinuate themselves in and they try to go ahead and take over. And, you know, the main problem has been these females or quasi females who come in, and what you end up having is you end up having these elderly males who actually hate Christian identity, and what they do is they go ahead and take the side of these females in the guise of politeness, in the guise of not, let's not have hate speech, let's not have this. And what they do is they immediately go ahead and censor people. Now, in 2000, back in 1999, the FBI was worried about Christian identity. And they had somebody who called himself Robert Paul North Knight, and he was mainly known as Cygnus1 at Hotmail.com. He had a Hotmail account. And he went ahead and set up a Yahoo group called Holy Wars. And he invited myself and Willie Martin, a few other people, but mainly, you know, who he could find from Christian Identity to go ahead and get on there. And the FBI was scared, and they went ahead and wrote this Project Megiddo to where Christian Identity is the glue that holds the racist right together, and we're going to have lone wolves, and we're going to have militia people, and they're going to go ahead and act up, you know, during Y2 chaos, and they're going to go ahead and create all these terrorist attacks, and we have to keep an eye on them. And they went against the suburban militias, you know, like the Missouri 51st and the Michigan Militia, tried to get them to reveal who they kicked out years ago for being Christian identity or being this or being that. Well, in Michigan, they tried to go ahead and do that. The second bunch after Norm Olson was Lynn Van Huysen and a Tom Wayne. And Tom Wayne was known to be a FBI or government snitch. And Huysen would say, go ahead and talk with them. Anyway, they got voted out, and a Christian identity-friendly bunch got voted in, and then the Michigan militia pretty well dissolved into factionalism because there were people who wanted to kick out the Christian identity people and others who wanted to go ahead and allow them to exist. Now, there is no such thing as a constitutional militia, and I wrote an article about by that name in Modern Militiaman issue number 6, and what boils down to, the reason there's no constitutional militia is that the militias were taken away from the people and given to the state governments to run most of the time, but also to go ahead and be federalized in time of war. And Patrick Henry and George Mason were against the Constitution. And about a third of Patrick Henry's speeches at the Virginia Ratifying Convention against the Constitution was saying, don't give up your army, don't give up your arms, don't give up your guns to this consolidated government, because how in the world can a people prevent tyranny unless they go ahead and maintain their own people's army? And my point was is that the militia initially was a people's army of Christian identity and Klansmen. And what you end up having Jews and Uyghurs get in, and what they do is they say, you Christian identity, you're not constitutional militias, but we are. No, none of you Uyghurs are constitutional militias because according to your sacred constitution, the militias were taken out of your power and given to the federal government. So unless, yeah, hold on a second. Ah, John?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm on TalkShoe right now, and essentially, I'm going ahead and ranting and raving. Could I go ahead and just leave you on speakerphone and go ahead and do the show?
Sure.
All right. Thank you, John. Bye-bye. Well, just stand by. That was my good friend, Pastor Six Killer, and I asked him to go ahead and call in. And what I do is I have him on speakerphone of the main house phone, and he's listening in. I don't know how well he can hear this, and I don't know how well you can pick it up. But essentially, with this infiltrating Whigger and Mamzer and Jew problem of the past week, him and I have been trying to go ahead and staunch what, you know, the invasion over at Pastor Visser's forum. And essentially what they do is they attack the weaker forums. They don't attack the stronger forums. They definitely do not dare attack my Christian nationalists. And the reason of it is they are quite scared, and quite rightly so, that I'll be able to go ahead and detect where they're coming from and what they're having to say. So they are quite scared about that. But the thing about it is that you had a Brian Wright, Billy Wood, third incursion over on TalkShoe. And essentially what you had is you had Obadiah, you had Billy Wood, and you had this character called James the Just and Jeff. And I end up giving them all sorts of names. But the thing about it is that you have Obadiah, who's a liar and a gender bender, coming in and sanctimonious. And what she does is she starts a thread saying, well, it's, you know, I mean, it's wrong to go ahead and, you know, cuss. It's wrong to go ahead and use four-letter Anglo-Saxon monosyllables. Now, let's understand something. These four-letter Anglo-Saxon monosyllables are inherent. They're part of our language. It wasn't something that a Jew came up to ascribe certain bodily functions here. Now, what these people do is they go ahead and they make their own little Talmudic or their own little Pharisaical nonsense to where, well, there is a law against it. No, there isn't. Just as there was no law against what Christ did, it was only just Pharisaical, you know, proto-Talmudic bullshit that they came up with to where our notions are the law. Well, the same thing with old James the Just, who says that he, she, or it lives in Apache Flats, Arizona, with some guy named James Radcliffe. Well, is this James the Just? Is it some female pretending? You know, I mean, is it, you know, is it a fellow homosexual living with this James? Or, you know, I mean, who is this character? You don't know. You don't know who they are. But what they do is they come in and they say that they get to go ahead and decide what the law is. And no, they don't. Your notions are not the law. And if you tried to go ahead and impose them by force upon someone else, any Christian Israelite has the right to go ahead and kill you right then and there. See, you don't understand. You know, what happens is that we ended up becoming a strong people because the law of Yahweh was a self-help justice system. And, you know, in many cases, men would have disputes. But the thing about it is, they didn't dare go ahead and force their dispute or go ahead and use the government to go ahead and make their little whims law. And that's what James the Just wants to do. He goes ahead and says, well, the word says you can't use four-letter words. No, it don't. Why does it say that? It says you will not take the name of, you know, thy God in vain, and Yahweh's our God, and I don't go ahead and do that, or if I do, I try not to. And I don't justify taking the, you know, going ahead and violating the express commandment of Yahweh. But I have nothing whatsoever against essentially ignoring and laughing and ridiculing nonsense from self-righteous people who come in, and you don't know who they are, and try to go ahead and impose whatever they came in with here. Now, the main thing, you know, the main thing isn't four-letter words or anything like that, like admin, you know, Pastor Visser's brother who administrates Pastor Visser's forum at, I forget where it is. And the problem is I hear that he's going to go ahead and change servers so there won't be as much of a problem. It's at freehostia.com. And the problem of it, freehostia.com, is that it's continually going ahead and messing up. I think it's a free server or a cheap server, And as a result, you end up having 503 problems and data problems and CPU cycles. That's the problem with going ahead and going with one of these mass servers on vBulletin. And vBulletin shouldn't go ahead and overwhelm it because it's mainly text and small graphic space, but it does in many cases. The main problem with these vBulletin forums is that, you know, your main problem you don't have at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Your main problem you have is at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And on every single movement forum, from Stormfront to StumbleIn to whoever, is that the main crawling of these forums here, and I call them Zogbots. And what you end up having is you have the state fusion centers and the local pigs and whoever's spying and Google and Yahoo, what I call Zogbots, to go ahead and categorize and do whatever is on there. You have them going ahead and showing up. So if Stormfront has, let's say, 10,000 visitors, they'll have 100,000 around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They'll end up having, if you have, eight on StumbleIn, established members, you'll end up having 60 or 70 or 80 Zogbot as guests here. So the main thing about these Z-Bulletins is that they go ahead and they're overwhelmed at the wee hours of the morning. And that's usually the main time when I'm up and awake. I'm not a morning person. And what I do is I like going ahead and, when things are quiet outside, I like going ahead and writing and studying and writing. And I'm a quite prolific writer. And the reason of it is that with my blogs and with my forums, I have to be. But here comes this character who you don't know. And the same thing has happened, and that's been the death knell of most of these Christian identity forums. You end up having some woman or someone who claims to be a woman, like Obadiah, and she comes in there and she whines that her little feelings are hurt by the rough male Christian identity talk. And then you end up having some little bell priest, and what they do is they try to go ahead and say, you can't go ahead and talk like that to women. Well, they're to be put on a pedestal. No, they're not. No, they are not to be put on a pedestal. Christian identity does not put women on a pedestal. In fact, what happens is that the woman is always subordinate to the male. And for every superlative woman like Pilgrim Cockatoo that you have, or Jessica 1488 who's helping Sci-Fi Faber, you end up having a Clunt Downey who essentially is not going to go ahead and obey any men, and who is going to go ahead and run whatever she can, down into a pit. And you end up having these people, and they show up, and they try to go ahead and put, their Baptist hobbyist crapola as being Christian identity. They're like California refugees. What they do is they flee from California to Missouri or Idaho, like Pastor Six Killer says. They go ahead and they flee there, and immediately what they try to do is they try to go ahead and impose the same crap that they ran away from on the people of whoever they move to. And what they are is they're California or Mexifornia refugees, and they don't understand is that they, not so much the Mexicans, they could have simply said, look, the Mexicans are not allowed, we'll kill whoever Mexicans come, but what they do is they run. They create the mess, and then they run away from their mess to a new location, and they go ahead and try to recreate the same messes. Now what happens is James the Just, or as I call him, Judas the Jackass, or Judas the Juiced, and Jeff, or Joof the Goof, what happens is that they're siding, they're essentially siding in with Brian Wright, and they're siding in with Obadiah. And essentially their idea is to go ahead and pull the same thing that happened in 2000 and same thing that happened in Stormfront, and to go ahead and create and make these women predominant and go ahead and kick out the actual Christian identity white males. And the thing about it is that what you do is you go ahead and you ridicule these people. Now, the thing about it is that these people cannot succeed. They cannot succeed any more than Miriam could succeed against Moses by bitching about the Ethiopian wife that he had. What was Miriam going to do if she had gone ahead and succeeded in overthrowing Moses? Wasn't Moses the main reason that she had a position of power as the chief of the women? Where was she going to go ahead and lead the Israelites to? The answer is she didn't know. Much like Korah. Korah was actually, I think, the grandson or great-grandson of Levi. And what he did, you know, he was a prince among the tribe of Levi. And that wasn't good enough for him. He had to go ahead and tell Moses, you take too much upon yourself. Moses, we're taking over. And what Moses and Yahweh said was, okay, everyone who sides with Korah, go over there. And they went over there, their wives, their children, their herds of flocks. And what happens, Yahweh came away and created a gigantic earthquake, small earthquake, and swallowed them up, their men, their women, their children, and their animals. And nothing was left of these people. Korah, what did you think you'd accomplish by taking over from Moses? What was there possibly to be accomplished? And the answer is nothing. So look, James the Juiced, let's say you go ahead and you do take over at Visser's Forum. What then? Well, let me tell you what will happen. The same thing that happened in Holy Wars. You'll end up just like Clint Downey. You'll end up with your little meerkat. You'll end up with Andy Anderson. You'll end up with Richard Nimoy. And essentially, you'll fight among yourself and whine that, oh, my God, people are spying on you. You can't go ahead and take over any forums. The problem of it is that Christian identity is far too much decentralized. And by going ahead and destroying and kicking out Christian Israelite males, which is what you want to do, you want to impose your nonsense. You can't talk that way to women. Sure you can. In any case, what happens is, I'm not saying these forums are church to where they are supposed to go ahead and be quiet. But the thing about it is that essentially if you're there, you have to explain yourself. If you're going to come up with this crap about how women and females, have a right to run, to run wild, you're not going to go ahead and get any followers among Christian Israel. You just aren't. But yet you're going to go ahead and try. But the thing about it is that what these people are doing is they're getting more and more testy. They said, you're a liar, you're a liar. Well, no, I'm not a liar. What happens is evil people. Matthew Ott says, I'm sorry the way that this thing went here. And what I have to say is, I'm not. See, Matthew, you ain't been around for very long, and you haven't seen all the betrayals. You haven't seen these things which go ahead and happen. But the thing about it is that evil people, they're like bad fruit to give off ethylene gas and go ahead and rot out the other fruit. Evil people always give off a stench of sanctimony. They give off a stench of sanctimony, and you can smell the rot among them. And then what happens, you can go ahead and see the other Uyghur sheep going ahead and, visibly going ahead and being led. There were a lot of people who end up going ahead and miscegenating, going after Midianite women. And it had to be nipped in the bud. And just like James the Jew, Juiced and, Juif, what you are is that, you're either mamzers yourself who don't understand the way of Yahweh, or you're rancid Uyghurs who can't go ahead and change. You need to give up your Baptist hobbyist nonsense if you're coming into the church, the dual seed line Christian identity church. Give up trying to go ahead and say white men can't cuss, because the fact of the matter is that white men, they're under the law of Yahweh, not your personal whims. You don't get to tell other people what to do. And if someone goes ahead and says, where in the Bible does it say that? You need to go ahead and tell what the scriptures are. And if you end up coming up with stuff from, well, Paul said not to talk nasty. Well, okay, I'm not talking nasty. Pretty well, my approach has been that if you wish, my program, if you don't wish to hear what I have to say and you don't wish to hear what I say on the podcast, don't listen to it. Don't listen to this podcast. It's just going to go ahead and make you sick. You're going to be like all these Jews who over the years have said, I listened to you, I read your webpage, and I was physically sick. Well, good. I'm glad you were physically sick. I was glad you weren't doing very good because I hope you die. What happens is that you're a tear. You don't belong here. And as a result, you're going to go ahead. What you're going to do is you're going to try to tell the white man what to do. And the thing about it is that you people, you Mamsers, you were weeded out. You were weeded out during the 40 years out in the desert. A mixed multitude of 3 million left Egypt. But guess what? When it crossed the River Jordan 40 years later, it was not a mixed multitude. It was a disciplined, homogeneous divided into 13 tribes. Each were in their own tribe, and each knew how to go ahead and pack, knew how to herd animals efficiently, knew how to go ahead and besiege a city, knew how to go ahead and essentially destroy and roll over the Canaanites. And that's exactly what they did. Now, they allowed certain Canaanites to stay among them. Too much Whiggers are pretty well led by their peckers. And what they end up doing is they end up going ahead and let their pecker do their thinking for them, and the end result is Mamsers. And these Mamsers are not weeded out. But these Mamsers were weeded out in the 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and they most certainly were weeded out when Assyria went ahead and deported Israel. What happens is that there was no provision for Jews and Jew money lenders when the Assyrians deported the Israelites, and there was no provision for Jews on a horse when they were sent to the northeast of Assyria and replaced with the Chaldeans in Samaria, Samaria who became the Chaldeans, Samaritans. What happens is when they wandered for 2,500 years, when they wandered around before they got their birthright, they became a white, they became a white people. They went ahead and interbred with the obedient Adamites who were not destroyed in the flood, and they became as numerous as the stars of the sea. But they were without Jews, and they were without Mamsers. What happens is that, just like when wandering in the desert, our Israelite forefathers who were deported and who had to go ahead and live under harsh circumstances on the steppes of Asia and in Europe, they became purified again, and thus ready to go ahead and receive the birthright. Now what happens, we received our birthright, and we wasted it. We are wasting it now, and our birthright is gone. And now we allow these Mamsers, and we allow these Jews, and we allow these muds to very well be very, very high over us, and very, very low is what we are right now. But the thing about it is what annoys me is these sanctimonious, either Mamsers or Baal priests or whatever, and they come in, and they have no business being among us. And what they try to do is they try to go ahead and bring in their Baptist notions that you can't talk bad to women that way. You can't go ahead and ask who they are. The thing about it is that there is no way they can go ahead and take over because, they're just like the Jews and the Mamsers everywhere. They think, and they whine. Listen to them whine about hate, 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 hate. Well, I hear the same thing. If I want to hear about how I'm a hater, I can go over to Mutant Sperm Front, or I can go to the SPLC, or I can go to any other thing here. So if, when you go ahead and you tell me about how you hate the fact that I'm a hater and intolerant or whatever, the fact of the matter is you're not hiding your tail, and you're not hiding your nose very well. What you're doing is you're going ahead and showing exactly who and what you are. And you're not fooling anybody. So, Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and see if Pastor, if Pastor Six Killer's on the other line, and we'll go ahead, and I'm not sure how much of this he's, picked up, but in any case, hey, John, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Okay, did you hear my ranting and raving about Judas the Juiced and Juice and Obadorker 666?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay. Pretty well, we discussed this. I mean, you said that you had the same problem in the days that, you had the same problem, your dad had the same problem in the days of Wesley Swift about people coming in, essentially wanting to go ahead and put in their own Baptist horseshit, as dogma for, Wesley Swift's church, correct?
Well, for the most part, yeah, people that come into Christian identity, they don't fully understand either the dogma, or the doctrology of dual seed life, and they bring in some of their Baptist or Pentecostal wicked heresy.
Okay. Would you say the main one is the notion that you ought to put women on a pedestal and worship them and essentially give them whatever they want and, let the, not say anything that might offend them?
Yeah, pretty much. I've noticed that with the Baptist and the Pentecostal people, they want to make their own rule. And if you press them to, scripturally back it up, they'll quote a few scriptures. And, it's like a block then, it's not specific. And, they'll do like James did, they'll expand it to, I'm sure he didn't want us using heroin either,
Yeah. What happens is that nobody went ahead and said you had to use heroin. The thing about it is that usually if you're addicted to heroin, you have a problem. You're not living the godly life. But, essentially, that's not a police matter for the Christian Identity Church, is it?
No.
Let's say someone comes in and he wants to go ahead and impose his heresies on others. And what happens is, say, some Christian white man decides he's had enough and decides just to go ahead and kill the idiot. I went ahead and did a lot of search about the early means of essentially blood feuds. And essentially you didn't have it. You didn't have police until about the 1800s. And the very first, police force were called bobbies. And people would say, well, whose pigs are these? And they'd say, well, they're Bobby Peels. So that's why they were called bobbies. But you didn't have a police force. Essentially what you had, in Christian Israel, essentially you had self-help justice. If someone went ahead and killed or robbed you, essentially you were supposed to go ahead and deal with the problem yourself. Correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if some mamzer came in, or some wigger came in and insisted upon forcing his will upon you, and you didn't like that, you had a perfect opportunity to just simply kill him and have done with it. But the problem of it is that the mamzer or the wigger's family would be going after you, so as a result, you'd end up having to go ahead and kill that wigger's entire family. And what I'm saying is that as a result, it was like the 40 years in the wilderness, it was like the centuries of Israel's migrations to where they lived now and where they went, is that essentially what you did is you got rid of the self-righteous, you got rid of the mamzers, you got rid of the people who really didn't belong among the Israelites, didn't you? Still there? Well, seems like we went ahead and lost Pastor Six Killer. But the thing is that pretty well what he's doing is he's talking on cell phone to my to my house phone, and what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to go ahead and keep this running. But anyway, someone said that they have a little bit of problem about how they can barely hear Six Killer, and that's true. But in any case, what happens is that the problem of it is that you have these people, and essentially they want to go ahead and put their own notions onto things. And what I have to say to them is that you really don't belong here. If you come into us here and you are white, what happens is that you don't go ahead and add your crap or your notions and force them on others. And that is what, that's what this character named James suggests to. I don't know who he is. And Jeff. What happens, he went ahead and he came in when I was ranting and raving about Brian Wright, and he whined. Okay, this guy said it's slander all right under your law. James is just, okay, hold on. Looks like, you there? You there?
Yeah, I dropped off here.
Yeah, I lost cell. Okay, well control. You got in a dead spot. Where are you at? Nevada now?
Yeah, I'm in Nevada.
Oh, okay. Well, occasionally Pastor Six Killer loses control. Anyway, I'm looking at James the Juice. I'm looking at James the Juice here going ahead and talking about unmerited favor and all this crap here. And he's talking about how he may not have learned the truth if it's not for the grace of Yahweh and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing about it is he's never been able to go ahead and explain the scriptural version. All he can do is say, the Word tells him. Well, I have no idea what the Word tells you, and I have no idea who tells you anything like that here. But in any case, what he does, he whines and whines and whines about how he's not going to go ahead and request an apology or anything like that. And he says he's had worse things said about me in far more intelligible English than your vain imagination has conjured. See, that's another problem. That's another problem with little wiggers. They end up, wiggers or mamsers. What they do is that they claim that they don't understand my English. Well, that might be true, but what happens is that they have enough brain power barely to understand that what I'm saying about them is not very favorable. It's rather pejorative, in fact. And what they are is they're just like Alex Linder. He goes ahead and he becomes a little wannabe speech Bolshevik who goes ahead and, well, if you go ahead and misspell this thing, I'm going to go ahead and ban you, or I'm going to put you in a tar corral. And then the idiot, pretty much, he makes his own mistakes here, and then somebody points it out to him. He don't like it, and he goes ahead and bans people. See, that's the problem with these Z-Bulletin movement boards. What happens, these people, they're not able to go ahead and take criticism or anything like that very well. They go ahead and they whine or they ooze sanctimony or essentially just like happened on Holy War, this Yahoo group, they go ahead and eventually they go ahead and ban everybody, and then there's nobody left. And then, they go ahead and have to look, well, what are you saying about me on, what are you saying about me on your forum, or what are you saying about me somewhere else? And they get, they get their little feelings hurt. And they go ahead and they ooze squaws. They're like worms. They ooze squaws here, and they ooze sanctimony. And they sort of think that they're, fooling somebody. And they're not. They're fooling wiggers. But the fact of the matter is that, a lot of you people new to Christian identity, you make the assumption that a pastor of Yahweh is trying to go ahead and save you. And the answer of it is just like Christ said why he spoke in parables. He said he spoke in parables because, you know, he really didn't want to go ahead and save people. You know, many people, you know, I end up asking Christian bell priests, and it's a trick question. I say, well, why did Christ speak in parables? And what happens, the bell priest or the wigger will say, because he wanted everyone to be saved. Well, no, that isn't what he wanted to be saved. Let's go ahead and say, let's go ahead and quote, you know, I'm going to use the King James Version because that's the version I have at home. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He, Jesus, answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him that, you know, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Rather unfair, doesn't it sound, you know, to modern wiggers. What happens, he's going to go, you know, Christ is going to go ahead and give to the rich and take from the poor? Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. In short, Jesus Christ doesn't want to heal six sick Whigger sheep. If you're sick, what happens, if you're sick, you know, you're a diseased animal, that you're running around in the body of Christ, and you come up to me like James the Juiced or Juice the Goof. And Juan, I'm sick. What happens is that I believe that what I want should be what gives. You know, how dare you say, how dare you say I want to go ahead and censor you? Well, if that isn't what you want, then why in the world is the entire thing come up here? You people act like, you know, I haven't seen the same crap go on and on and on. It used to be on the internet that what you'd see is you'd see the same stupid crap, the same meme, go ahead and make a cycle, a complete cycle, sort of like cows, you know, migrating to different pastures or the migrations of wildebeest or something like that. You'd see on the internet the same memes, go ahead and make a circle. And they'd all end up making a circle every 18 months. Some would make a couple circles within 18 months. Like, the Jews are going ahead and, you know, you wake up in Louisiana in a bathtub full of ice and, you know, you get a note that your kidneys have been removed, so stay put here and call the police here and, you know, here's a phone number to call because your kidney's been removed and your internal organs have been harvested here and you're going to die. And That thing used to make the cycle about every 6 months. And the same thing has happened among Whiggers and Mamzers that wanted to infest Christianity. They come in there, they have some female, and essentially what she does, she whines that she's offended by what's being said. And then you end up having the Mamzers and the bell priest go ahead and say, we can't have women have their little feelings hurt. We need to go ahead and get away from this hate speech. And then they whine and they piss and they moan. And then when they get called on, they go ahead and say, well, hey, you're a liar. You're slandering me. Well, look, dumbass, I don't know who you are. What happens, you can be any one of 666,666 Mamzers listening in. You know, if I don't know who you are, and I pretty well describe you to a T, and you don't like that, appellation, well, that's just tough. You don't have any say-so. You don't get to go ahead and say what to do here. So don't go ahead and say that I didn't mean this, because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen on Holy Wars. And what happens is, looking back on it later, I went ahead and found out that Andy Anderson in 1997 was all annoyed at Clifton Emhyser. Clifton Emhyser declared war on us. And why did he declare war? Well, he went ahead and brought up his pastoral teaching letters, and he went ahead and said, is that, yes, guess what? Dual seed line Christian identity is the real religion. And what happens? Here comes this Andy Anderson. And he shows up, and he ends up getting the list server, and he goes ahead and he bans people on the basis of, you're talking bad to women. And what does he do? He goes ahead and he bans a Jew, he bans a Russian, and he bans an atheist. And I was the fourth one banned, because I said, I don't really care what the Jew or the atheist or the Russian, or the Russian has to say. Let them go ahead and speak their piece, because I'm not worried about what they have to say. What they have to say, as being honest and open against Christianity, I don't have a problem with that. There's no reason that I should. So guess what? You people, who want to go ahead and come into Christianity and turn it, turn it and twist it, because that's what you do. And you come in every so often. And what happens? The other wigger sheep, well, they mean well. No, they don't mean well. I've seen so many wolves and mamzers and Jews and wiggers hiding. See, that's the problem of this. They sort of think they can go ahead and pull down something, like myself, who's well-known from behind the internet curtain. And the thing about it is, if you don't know who the heck's, they say, well, it don't matter who you're speaking to. Nonsense. Eve went ahead and talked to a serpent. What ended up happening from that here? Well, what happens? The serpent lied to her. What did he do? He went ahead and impregnated her with a Jew and ended up having her lose her home. That's what ends up happening when you go ahead and talk to somebody who's not of your own kind, who wanders in, you don't know who you're talking to. She ended up talking to a serpent. And the end result was disastrous. So always know who you're talking to. And what happens is that, look, Matthew, it's far better. It's far better that I know that Judas the Juiced and Juif the Goof. It's far better that I know they're bell priests. It's far better I know they're mamzers. It's far better I know they're treacherous wiggers now than when you're facing criminal charges and what happens? You're on your own and you're facing these people. No, you want to go ahead and find out in a time like now when nothing matters here. That's when you want to go ahead and find out who these people are or what kind of people they are. Not when you're in trouble. Okay? Well, by the way, Brian Wright, he came in for the third time. And he's been, he's run off since December 3rd when me and Pastor Six Killer found out who he was. And he's a slant-eyed Jew mamzer. Old Six Killer's pretty sure he's picked here. One of these Canaanite people who were driven out. But essentially, he's come in there, and, he first showed up in 2005 trying to go ahead and get into Morris Galais Church. He went ahead and drove out Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson was another little man. You give all these little men a little bit of power, and they immediately go ahead and conduct a purge. They kick out whoever they can. And what they did is that, if I'd been able to talk to Galette in jail, I said, don't give Joe Johnson your church now that you're in jail. Because I talked to her in February of 2005, and essentially what boiled down to is that whatever belonged to Joe Johnson was going to remain Joe Johnson's, and whatever you gave him was going to become Joe Johnson's. And that's what Joe Johnson did. He immediately proceeded to go ahead and purge a number of people, including me, in jail. And Galette let him do it. He went ahead and gave it to this kid named Zach Kraft, his form. And Zach Kraft actually was Rick Spring. It was traced to Rick Spring's address, and Rick Spring went ahead and destroyed most of Galette's form. And what happens? They were going to go ahead and destroy everybody. They were going to kick out everybody, and then they went out to go ahead and go after Visser. And by this time, Galette didn't have much of a church left. And what happens is Pastor Six Killer and a few others went ahead and Bill, you know, and Brian Wright went ahead and kicked out Joe Johnson. But Brian Wright was out to go ahead and steal. What happens? The Nazi left, you know, about $1 million, better than $1 million of the state a couple years ago, about 6, 7, 8 years ago. And what happens is that Ray Redfern's church got 40% of it. And what Zog did is it tied it up in probate and still tied up in probate. But there was $400,000 there, at least. And Brian Wright was trying to go ahead and get into it. So he come up with this crap about how he's Christian and he wormed his way in. And what happens is that the reason Brian Wright didn't get it is that nobody trusted him. Six Killer called me from the nut house and asked my opinion. I said, this guy, by going ahead and declaring this Church of the Sons of Yahweh reformed and how Gillette needs to sit in the back pew and all this sanctimonious crap, you know, there's nothing good about him here. He's probably a thief or a Zogite. And what happens, we've been trying to find out where old Brian Wright lives, and Six Killer spent $19. He can't find out where he lives. Well, guess what? He's probably being shielded by the Department of, you know, Zogland Security, to where usually you can find out where anybody lives if you go ahead and pay a little bit of money to go ahead and do some internet dirt, you know, dirt digging. But you can't do that with Brian Wright. What happens is that Brian Wright's mad, me and especially Pastor Six Killer, for going ahead and revealing that picture of him with the prison sleeves, tattoos, and the slant eyes. And what happens? He shows up. And most of you wiggers on the forum can't even go ahead and look at the picture of the slant eyes and the prison tats and figure out there is a satanic mamzer. You can't go ahead and look back here. Me, when Obadiah first showed up here, I smelled a Jew. So I went ahead and did a search here and found out that what she was is that she was Alex Winder's favorite CI tard. Favorite tard. So anyway, I'm pretty well, you know, taking all this time here. Anyway, this is about it here. To be discussed is also Kurt Maynard's inverse male telegony and some Balkanoid mamzers bitching about Comrade Dzerzhinsky's Christian identity genocide plans and how teacher William Fink snuffed the Puerto Rican mamzer monkey criminal and didn't get any bounty for 112 years free room and board at Club Fed for mamzer, you know, for mamzer side. What happens is that when Pastor Fink, well, when Teacher Fink first came up here, I asked him, why were you thrown in jail? He went ahead and told me is that he was in charge, you know, he was in charge of a police department. And what happens is that a Puerto Rican criminal ended up being killed on his watch. And what he tried to do is he tried to go ahead and cover it up, and it didn't stay covered up, so he got 12 years for essentially his role in the plot to go ahead and kill this Puerto Rican mamzer, you know, this Puerto Rican criminal mamzer. Well, what I have to say to this is that what you end up having is that here's Kurt Maynard, and he suffers from what I call inverse male telegony. Essentially, what happens is that he has to go ahead and go after Spick Pussy, and, you know, I know that a number of people don't believe in telegony, and a number of people who are farmers, you know, like myself, do believe in telegony, that essentially people are ruined, you know, they are ruined by alien male sperm. But, you know, I like going ahead and making fun. You know, I like going ahead and using call inverse male telegony to where wiggers, they end up having their peckers corroded by a strange coontang, and essentially they're not able to go ahead and think. And I was trying to go ahead and be polite to Kurt Maynard, and he comes up with this stupid crap about how Christian identity is idiocy. Well, he goes ahead and he comes up with some Balkanoid mamzer named Brian Akira. And what he is he's a, he calls it identity genocide. And he whines that, you know, Pastor William Fink can't go ahead and do all this sort of thing. And he whines about essentially my plots to create genocide. Look, Wiggers. What happens is that genocide is going to occur against you. It's called the Great Tribulation. There's nothing that I or anybody can do about it here. See, the Great Tribulation is good news. And the reason it's good news is because most of you wiggers deserve to die. See, why do you think Yahweh has brought, you know, this Jew curse and this man's a curse upon us? And the answer of it is, so heaven won't be crowded with you stupid wiggers. You people think, you know, like I was quoting in Matthew chapter 13, you people think that Christ, you know, Jesus loves all the little mamsers of the world. You bring this crap from your Baptist hobbyist nonsense. And the fact of the matter is that's not the case. Anyway, this is some little mamser of Eastern European origin who worships these little idol icons, and he has nothing good to say about me. And, you know, or Pastor Fink here. Well, guess what? I don't consider Pastor Fink any bad thing because he went ahead and killed a mamser, or he had something to do with killing a mamser. This Puerto Rican mamser should have had his head separated, you know, from his shoulders and shoved into the East River the minute he got off the boat or off the flight or wherever. You know, there ought to be a bounty on these beaners. Give them 30 days to clear out. If they don't hear, what happens is $5,000 a head. You present the head, no questions asked. And what happens if you have an ammunition expenditure here, that's paid up to, 10 shots per, 10 shots per beaner head. Beaners, you don't belong in this country. You better clear out. And that's what the Great Tribulation is going to do, is because you're going to clear out. Chances are you're not going to clear out. You're going to die here. And there's not going to be graves for you. But then again, there's not going to be graves for Whiggers if you go ahead and read Jeremiah chapter 16. So look, man, you know, people say, well, what are you going to say about this stupid, you know, mamser who goes ahead and whines about you? And the answer of it is, I'm not going to say nothing here. Of course mamsers whine about Christianity. They hate Christianity. Why shouldn't they whine? Okay, the next one is Sci-Fi Faber gives up his New Jersey House Turner Aryan Nation faction to the ADL faction run by Jeweled O'Hyber Nigger O'Brien, papist shithead with a swastika tattooed on his T-34 sloping forehead. What happens is that this Gerald O'Brien, he showed up in 2003, and supposedly he claims to have gotten Pastor Butler's mantle. And the problem with Pastor Butler was that when he took over, he was Leslie Swift's second choice. Leslie Swift's first choice was Connie Lynch. And Connie Lynch wanted to go ahead and continue with Leslie Swift's church organization, i.e. that a church is a family organization. Pastor Butler wanted to go ahead and bring in all these skinheads and have a political army. And the problem of it is that for every skinhead who came in, they drove out 49 family men. Essentially, Wesley Swift's church is less than 5%, was less than 5% of what it was because Butler went ahead and brought in all the skinhead rabble. Now, the skinhead rabble loves Butler because essentially Butler was a soft touch for him. He'd go ahead, but Butler ended up losing his farm because of this rabble. And what happens is that under a Lindsay administration, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to go ahead and essentially make the church back from these family congregations, but keep them underground. What happens is that, Christian identity is not going to go ahead and destroy Zog. Zog's internal conflicts is going to go ahead and destroy Zog. Christian identity didn't have a single thing to do with the blow up of the banks and the bailouts and the printing of money. Christy, we didn't have a single thing to do with it. Nothing. What we do is that, I've gotten letters from people. I've said, don't come to the attention of the authorities. Stay at home and protect your children. Go ahead and, save up within limited things, bullets, beans, and bandages here, because you're going to need it. But anyway, Sci-Fi Faber, I went ahead and put it to where people could read it on my forum. Essentially, he went ahead and, he's not trusted by anybody because he used to be with Hal Turner. And what happens is Sci-Fi Faber, I was in alliance with him, but essentially Sci-Fi Faber turned out to be a liar. What happens, he also turned to be somebody who just had to have power, and as a result, he went ahead and annoyed people in Texas, in Tennessee, and certainly in Missouri. So as a result, Sci-Fi don't have anything left, and I guess he's going ahead and turning it over to Gerald O'Brien. And essentially, Gerald O'Brien, essentially, I think it's just a little ADL, you know, just an ADL pocket change thing. When the ADL and the SPLC want to go ahead and have an Aryan Nations literature drive, they go ahead and give him a little bit of money. He goes ahead and he throws out crap on people, you know, on some Wigger's lawn, and the Wigger's bitch, and he gets his name in the paper, and oh my God, the Aryan Nations in, you know, in Possum Gulch, Idaho are running wild. They're going to put all the Jews in the oven, and you got to go ahead and send more money to the ADL and SPLC to, you know, combat hate. And the thing about it is, it's all together a Zog false front, you know, motion. What happens, Sci-Fi? I don't know. He had an Italian wife. We used to call me here, and the Italian wife made it quite clear that she didn't think much of his. You know, she was a Roman Catholic, and she didn't think much of his Christian identity playing around with. Okay, Original Descent, Embalming Society, Greater Free Range Senile Wigger Tug Corral, or Insidious Zogbot Plot to hoover up what little non Alzheimer brain cells might remain. What happens is that there, I went ahead and I tried, you know, some of my posts here with sock puppets and, you know, imagery, I go ahead and send over to them, and they go ahead and strip it. They say, I'm data mining, you know, by means of the picture. What they have Bartimuch, and they have Franco, and they have Albion, they have all these Trader Glenn Miller sock puppets there, you know, pig life, on their form. And what happens, they're worried that I'm going to somehow suck up data information by going ahead and using a JPEG file that, you know, that's linked to my webpage. I mean, look, Texas dissident. I mean, I think you're a nice guy, but you're essentially a senile Wigger. You have no idea what the hell you're doing. And essentially, you're an idiot. You know, you're just, I mean, what gets me is that you would think that somebody who's at the end of his lifetime, the end of his lifetime, don't have many years to go. You know, if he's what, 60, 70 years old, he only got about 10 years to go. What happens is that, what happens is that you would think that what he'd do is that he wouldn't worry about the very last years of his life, but it turns out the exact opposite. Old people, they're scared they're going to lose the last year or two of miserable life, so they don't do anything right. They go ahead and they go ahead and make notions here. They can go ahead and do whatever, you know. I mean, they can go ahead and make compromise. Whereas it's the young people who go ahead and heedlessly, they have the rest of their lives, but essentially they're in the armed forces, and they go ahead and heedlessly give it up. And it doesn't really make sense, but that is the way it is. And the thing about Original Descent and Embalming Society is all they are is just a bunch of senile Wiggers. And that's why I call it the Embalming Society, because they discuss the same old notions, you know, that they always used to go ahead and, you know, do. Anyway, I'm looking at the chat line where it says Brian Wright is a mud person. Yeah, what happens, Brian Wright, is essentially, you know, me and Six Killer drove him out December 8th of 2008 by going ahead and showing the picture. He's a dark-eyed man with slant eyes, and he has a whole bunch of what's called prison sleeves. They're called prison tattoos all over his arm. He showed back up earlier this week as, you know, going ahead and showing some fat blonde Wigger, who I guess he thought is, you know, was manly or whatever here. We didn't have prison sleeves. But, yeah, he's a Stephen Mamzer who was trying to go ahead and steal $400,000 from Ray Redfern and Pastor Gillette's church. And one reason he didn't is that the board of directors wouldn't let him, but the main reason is that there wasn't $400,000 to steal, because Zog has this money tied up in probate still. But, yeah, he's a Mamzer, and he shows up, and, you know, essentially he's over on BNN, you know, whining and, you know, carrying on, and he's attracted the attention of Alex Linder's pet Jew faggot named George Witzel or something like that. Everybody knows he's a fudge packer, but he's expressing an interest in Brian Wright. You know, I find it hilarious. Anyway, what I'm going to try to do now is that, we got about 20 minutes, and I'm going to go ahead and unmute the calls. And essentially, if anybody has any questions, I see that, Yeah, well, I see there's a few people on. I'm going to go ahead and unmute. And see if I can go ahead and hear, you know, something here. I don't really know how to go ahead and, I don't know how to go ahead and do this. But, essentially, it's about 20 minutes or so to 8 o'clock, you know, to 8 o'clock. And I hear there's another Christian Identity show coming on. So, what I'm going to try to do is, you know, I'm trying to go ahead and, you know, get this thing to work in here. Is there anybody on the line who wants to talk? Hello? Okay. Let me see. I don't know. See, the thing about it is that I really do not know how to run this TalkShoe. Essentially, what happens is that it's recording now. I see something that says end. I see something that says terminate. I see something that says block chat. But in any case, I really don't know too much about, you know, about it. And what happens is that I do know it goes ahead and saves. I see the pilgrims on there. I see guest 7, guest 8, Uber Don. Obadiah was on. And essentially, these people do what I call the glibber-wigger, you know, poop and scoop. They say they're not going to listen. They're not going to listen to what you have to say. And then what they do is they go ahead and they listen anyway because they're curious as to what the hell you're saying about them. But in any case, they go ahead and then they, you know, it was just like Andy Anderson. Oh, okay. This is okay. I'm hearing that Uberdon saying that somebody from there. It looks like Obadiah 83 has come on. So I don't know if today Obadiah comes on here. I mean, maybe we can go ahead and do the equivalent of look under Obadiah's tail. I mean, I told them if they're going to go ahead, you know, I told Judas the Juiced and Juice the Goof. Okay, what's wrong with O'Brien again? What he is that he's a 23-year-old hyber nigger in 2003 with a swastika tattooed on his forehead, and somehow he got access to Butler, or he claims to have access to Butler. You got to realize in 2003, Billy Roper was going ahead and taking Pastor Butler out on a see Pastor Butler before he could die croak tour. And they had one in Colt, Arkansas, which was way far away, and I didn't have the car that would quite do that then. And what happens is I went up in May of 2004, and I got to see Alex Linder and Belly Roper, and I got to see Pastor Butler. But you had this guy named Rick Spring, and Rick Spring was a criminal who had a, who essentially got out, you know, was released quite a bit of times on parole. And what happens is Rick Spring and his wife were taking care and nursing Pastor Butler. And what happens is that a bunch of people were sending $25 in and $10 a month, and you had all these checks and you had all this mail. And from what I gather, those applications to join Aryan Nations were pretty well stolen by Rick Spring and his wife and sold to Daryl Lamont Jenkins of the One People Project and the SPLC, because they went ahead and printed it out. Well, guess who's joining Aryan Nations? Well, there was a bunch of stink. You know, there was a big stink about that. And what happens is that later on, Rick Spring's wife had a falling out with him, and she said that Rick Spring was an FBI agent provocateur, tried to go ahead and keep an eye on Butler. So you got to understand is that, you know, Zog is scared crapless about Christian Identity, and especially scared about Aryan Nations. You go to one of these rallies, you'll have 100 pigs, and they're scared of less than 24 white activists, far more than they're scared of 400 niggers or 400 wiggers or 400 whatever, because they understand that if Zog loses control of the white population, Zog is, you know, history. And the thing about it is you got to also understand is that less than 1 in 20 white people have really any real leadership or administrative or whatever ability. And what happens, the people most who have some member a degree of leadership, they end up being co-opted. So, what did O'Brien have to do with the taking the membership list? What happens, he showed up about the same time that all this crap was coming down. He claims to go ahead and have Butler's blessing here. He claims to be following Butler's heritage. And the fact of the matter is they showed up, the last year or so of Butler's death with a swastika. And, he used to be, he says he was an atheist skinhead. Well, guess what? There's plenty of other people who have been in Christianity far longer than you. Just because you go ahead and claim that you are Butler's successor doesn't mean it's so. And the fact of the matter is the fact that you just showed up and you were able to go ahead and get access to Butler when you end up having Rick Spring and the rest of them there, come on, that don't even pass the giggle test. What happens is that when I got out of jail, I went ahead and pretty well shut down this Aryan front from claiming to be Aryan Nations. Because I found all these people, I'm Aryan Nations. I said, why are you Aryan Nations? Well, I gave August Christ $25. And I said, I don't care. If you're not white, if you're not Aryan, because essentially, a lot of people, August Christ pretty well lost, and the reason he lost it is that he was going ahead and said, hey, you don't even have to be Aryan, much less Christianity, in order to go ahead and join the Aryan Nations. All you have to do is give me $25. Everybody said, okay, there's August Christ mooching again. So guess what? Gerald O'Brien? Well, no, Christ isn't a Negro. He's a Whigger who supposedly married a Jewess, and then he was facing bogus child molestation charges, and they were bogus, so he beat them. But essentially, Christ has always been a moocher. He's been a known moocher. So anyway, this Aryan Nations nonsense that's going on, in the case of Gerald O'Brien, it's just another Zog false front. So in any case, I'll go ahead and discuss that. But pretty well, my main problem is essentially all these Whiggers who come in, all these Whiggers and Jews and Mamsies who come in and they want to go ahead and take over Christian identity. And yeah, sure they do. They want to go ahead and lead it to something that it's not. They want to go ahead and make it something that's non-white and non-white male and non-Christian identity. They go ahead and they bring their Baptist nonsense or their Pentecostal linthead crap with them, and the end result is a mess. So, anyway, got about 10 minutes to go here. I'll see if Pastor Six Killer is still on the line. Hey, John, still there? John, still there? I'm going to go ahead and hang up here, and he can go ahead and call me if he wants to. Okay. Well, someone says tattoos are, of course, unrighteous here. He told me he identifies with Esau. Well, he might very well. Christ identifies with Esau. Well, maybe he can. Who knows? There's a lot of people who wouldn't be surprised one bit about that. Hello? Oh, okay. I think I hear somebody on the line.
Yeah, I'm here, Martin. This is Pilgrim. Oh, how are you?
Okay. Well, thanks, Pilgrim. I don't know what you think about what's been going on at Pastor Visser's forum the last week or so. But
I've only read little bits here and there. It looks like you got quite a warfare going on over there.
Well, it is quite a warfare. The problem of it is that I went ahead, and one of the strengths I have is that I immediately go ahead and I'm able to do counter opposition research. And essentially, Obadiah was allowed to go ahead and violate all of Linder's rules because Obadiah was essentially Linder's favorite tard, CI tard. He could go ahead and whip her and, make fun of her. And essentially, she was reduced. She was ridiculed so badly over there that all she would do is she'd sneak on at night and go ahead and neg-rep them, you know, try to go ahead and neg-rep them. Because they did not do very, you know, she did not do very good at, you know, especially she was, you know, Linder's favorite tard.
Well, I saw mentioned in one post somewhere about her dealing with people like Colonel Kurtz. Oh, I remember him well.
Well,
I still head-to-head with him a long time ago.
Well, what happens, Kurt, you know, he's some character named Steve Smith, and the man's a total tard. And what happens is that, let me see, Stevie Buck was laughing that Obadiah was like to give poor old Colonel Kurtz a heart attack, but for all the wrong reasons here. I mean, Kurtz was just freaking out, but then again, it don't take much to make that, you know, that Fruit Loop freak out.
He's a freak. Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's a freak.
And he's got sock puppets there, too, that are equally strange.
Well, I mean, what I've seen, and, you know, it's a sort of little corollary, is that, you know, Jews will, you know, almost always go ahead and use a Hitler avatar or a Nazi avatar. And over on Stumbling, here's this Jew mamzer named Ixabert. And pretty well everybody on Stumbling voted except Ixabert. And one of the administrators is that, guess what? From now on, we're not going to allow anybody. I call it the Adolf Hitler Honor Restoration, you know, Act. And essentially, no, unless you're able to go ahead and prove you're a descendant of a real Nazi here, you can't go ahead and use Nazi names or Nazi avatars over and stumble in.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Here comes Ernest Kaltenbrewer, and they mistake him for this character named Monsieur Chauvin. And being a moderator there, I'm able to go ahead and look at the IP numbers. And Monsieur Chauvin, he came from France.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that he logs on using, any mouse. What happens is Ixabert sock puppet, supposedly Ixabert is real smart. No, Ixabert, you're not real smart, because what you do is you don't use an anonymous thing. What you do is you log on to Bell Canada out of Toronto. And what happens, your Klaus Barbie, your Adolf Einmamser, your The Englishman, you know, what happens is that Monsieur Chauvin, he likes me because I ran out Ned Flanders, you know, Maud Defraud Flanders. I ran him off.
Mm-hmm.
I ran him off in May of 2004. And what happens, this is the same, you know, same way with Four Fag Seeds. I'm pretty sure it's pretty well another Zog Falls front. What happens, Carcass came back, you know, Farkas came back. I call him Carcass, Kaiken Mamzer. And essentially, he didn't go ahead and tell us that, but I looked at his profile over on Four Fag Thebes. It turns out he's an Argentinian. So I said, you're an Argentinian Sephardic Mamzer? And what happens, Carcass was yapping about, oh, wow, we could be fined 1,000 euros for the first offense. Well, if you can be fined 1,000 euros for the first offense, what are you showing up over here for? Because you're on the Belgian telephone ISP. Over in Europe, what they do is that when I was stationed in Germany nearly 30 years ago, the German post office and the German telephone company were pretty well the same thing. It was sort of like Ford and Mercury or Johnson and Evinrude. Essentially, they were, pretty well, the post office and the phone company are operated by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, they're just two divisions. Well, guess what? Same thing from what I gather at this Belgian ISP. It's pretty well run. It's pretty well a corporation. It's pretty well a state corporation. And the state regulates it quite heavy. So here you are, supposedly you can be fined $1,000, so why is Four Fags being run by Stan? And, you know, essentially, I don't know if Stan has the same IP number, but, you know, Maud Defraud Flanders had the same, you know, had much the same, you know, from the same company, you know, out of Brussels.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what I said is that, look, you know, Stan and Maud Defraud and Carcass, they all know each other. They all know each other, and what happens, Stan has gone ahead and made Maud and Carcass moderators over Four Fags Thebes. So guess what? I mean, I smell a rat, and what I smell is I went ahead and accused Carcass of being a Sephardic Argentinian Mamzer, you know, spying on us, and what happens is that it's just like VNN. John DiNucci and a few other people noticed that whenever you have a Jewish holiday, VNN traffic drops by about a third. It drops to about 70%. So what happens, a lot of them think that, you know, essentially what happens is that, you know, people, you know, I've had, you know, one of my spies calls it Troll Central or the Linder Miller Whorehouse, the Linder Witz Whorehouse or whatever, but essentially there's been a lot of speculation that VNNF here is mainly a bunch of Jew trolls spying and doing the rest of it. And I've already mentioned is that if you go ahead and look on all these forums, the most traffic occurs at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. By you know, hoovering up my Zog box is what I call it.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up having all these guests here. And what happens at a place like StumbleIn, and I've said you need to go ahead and get a new hoster. Because your hoster not only, you know, goes ahead and shuts it down whenever somebody whines about it, but, and that's another thing. Fairfax Feeds, it's based out of Belgium. And, you know, I thought I had the worst hate laws here, but, you know, if it has the worst hate laws, why are you allowing all these people to show up here? And I think what happens when I first signed up, old Stan was quite, you know, just like in 1999 with Holy Wars, they want to keep an eye on me. But what happens is that I was a rather obnoxious personality, and essentially with a bunch of these people, I ended up first being kicked out of the, quote, academy, the highbrow discussion. I said, more facts, Steve.
Oh, of course, nothing is not highbrow.
Well, no, I called it a unibrow chatting salon circle jerkery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I was still allowed in the help desk section, and there was this guy named Helinka Gardova, and essentially he was taking the names of the Nazi militia, you know, the Nazis set up in Slovakia. Used to be Czechoslovakia. Well, what happens is that the Slovaks were the mountain, you know, the poor, eastern, dumber mountain cousins of the Czechs. You know, you had all these Slavs, and, you know, what happens is that they were cousins to the Czechs, and they were, you know, forced together after the Treaty of Versailles, and what happens is that in the 1990s, they had what they called the Velvet Divorce. The richer, more, you know, richer, smarter Czechs pretty well, you know, essentially, you know, they had Slovakia booted out. Well, anyway, this Helinka Gardova, he knows quite a bit about American movement politics. And in the shop mock, one time he goes ahead and says, dual Christian identity is derived from the Kabbalah. Well, it's the same thing that happened with Klunt and Downey, you know, Klunt and Meerkat Mark and Andy Anderson. What happens is Nimala toward the end will say, well, dual feed lines derived from the Talmud. Well, the fact of the matter is that the Talmud and Kabbalah, you know, being, you know, acquainted with Jews, what they do is they do hint that, you know, they do know. Jews who really study it, they do know who their father is. They do know that Cain was their father and Satan is, you know, Lucifer is their ultimate father. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And see, they know who they are, but, you know, what happens is here comes Richard Nimoy, and he says, Richard Nimoy says, you know, dual feed lines derived from the Talmud. No, it's not. What happens is that both the Jews and Christianity people both know the origins of both our line, our good line, and also the smart of Satan seed line.
Oh, the Jews know what is going on.
Yeah, they know the smart Jews here. Most
well,
Jews,
not every Jew, you know, running a deli out there in the world, but
well, yeah, they know who they are here. But the thing about it is that a Jew, you know, has a great deal of problems when he goes in and confronts a Christian identity person like myself here, because what happens, me and this character named Hengist, who sort of betrayed me later on, he went ahead and said, okay, you know, well, I was the main one. I said, okay, Jew boy, why on the Talmud do you dirty kikes admit that you're the spot of Satan? And guess what? You know, Nimoy couldn't say because he's screwed. Because if he goes ahead, and, you know, he said, well, the Talmud sort of says that we're descended from, this, you know, us Jews are descended on the spot of Satan. You know, see, I told you so.
Yeah.
See, you dirty Jews admit it. And what happens is that essentially what it is the Jew tried to go ahead and charge a German, you know, stand down machine gun nest. That Jew is not going to make it. You know what I mean? That Jew isn't going to make it. The Jew's going to end up, I mean, you know, he's going to be gunned down. He's going to be gunned down without anything inside here. So what happens is he's trying to go ahead and get Clunt and, you know, her little meerkat to go ahead and do it. Well, later on in Holy War, they kicked out all the dual feed line people, and this was after I, you know, found out about her being a big whore and all. And essentially, here they are whining, and Nimoy goes ahead and does something neat against poor old Clint. She whines, "I knew these people would be like that." And I just look and says, "Well, you got Q-bit, Clint. You got Q-bit." And I laugh my head about it. And, you know, the thing about it is that, this guy named Holinka Vogarda, who I call June Paul III in the shout box.
I remember the exchanges over at the forum.
Yeah, this was in the shout box, though. And he knew he'd screwed up because, okay, Jew boy, where in the Talmud, you know, where in the Kabbalah doesn't mean you dirty Jews are a spawn of Satan. He knew he'd screwed up. And what happens is the third time I've seen that was when, you know, I was in the nut house at the time. Bill White went ahead and he went ahead and said Christian identity is derived from the Talmud. And what happens, like a little Jew, he ran off like a little rat. Essentially that's why there's a lot of people who end up, you know, I'm one of them, call them Bill White / Weiss, because guess what? See, when someone says, "Oh, six killer here." Hey, John, you still on?
Well, I am for the moment. I got cut off. I keep trying to get back on, but it wouldn't let me.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody says, what do I think of, Pastor John Weaver from wherever, and I've never heard of the guy, to be honest with you. But Pastor John Weaver from Freedom Ministries, who's that? I have no idea. I think Obadiah is Obadorker 83. Essentially, it's not going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and get to see, you know, look underneath the tail, but. Essentially, he seems like a righteous Southern preacher. Well, I never heard of him. You know, I've heard of Skill Jaw Hagee, and I've heard of Billy Graham, but I've never heard of Pastor John Weaver from Freedom Ministries.
I've heard the name before. He's Christian identity?
I don't know. But what happens is that, shoot, you know, Obadiah claims to be Christian identity. So I mean, you know, for what it's worth here, you know what I mean? You know, Obadiah, if you're on there, could you go ahead and call in, because we'd really like to look underneath your tail, you know what I mean? You know, see whether you're male or female. I mean, that's a big question. Maybe I'll go ahead and put it on the forum, you know what I mean? But thing about it is, Obadiah showed up a week or so ago, and what happens, Obadiah is hiding underneath the avatar of a rather beautiful-looking redhead of about, what, 21, 22 years old. And the critter is, the critter is my age. She must be about, what, 50, you know, 49, 50, 51, 52. So essentially this person is lying. You know what I mean? It's not telling the truth. And the thing about it is that's how you go ahead and find, you know, these other characters, because they don't tell the truth. They're liars is what they are. You know what I mean? So, it looks like somebody just gone ahead and left the chat, which is fine. But, you know, essentially that's what, you know, that's another thing here. I mean, I've learned over at the militia, I've learned in the militia movement. What happens is that here are these agent provocateurs or whatever, and, we lost John. He'll probably call back, but he's at Nevada, and, you know, they don't have a lot of cell phone towers out there.
Yeah.
What happens is that you hear these people, you see these people, and it's just like these ones who showed up April 23rd, you know, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. It was a Saturday after Oklahoma City, and they show up for the first time, and they ended up getting positions in the militia movement. And what they did is that they, you know, these the the older people from the common law court people would go ahead and trust them, and they'd never get their stuff done. People would begin to wonder. And I went ahead and said, look, Norm Olson's Third Continental Congress is just a means by which Norm Olson wants to get back in the militia movement and run it, because he ended up losing his position with this conspiracy theory that the Japanese were responsible for Oklahoma City or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, Waco or whatever. He got kicked out here, and then in came a bunch of FBI snitches, you know, sneaks and snitches like Tom Wayne and Lynn Van Huysen, you know, who pretty well kicked out all the Christian Identity people. And then, you know, then what happens, the Christian Identity people, you know, essentially went ahead and waged, because by this, you know, see what happens, people, they like whining about the militia movement. Oh, it wasn't Christian Identity and Klansmen. Well, the answer of it is, in 1994, it mainly was. And when I went to the Skadston rally in May of 1996, after I got out of jail for contempt of court, close to 40% of the people who were there were Christian Identity. And this is of people who really didn't have a lot of money. You know, I went in there because of a suburban guy who was, you know, he had plenty of money, and, you know, playing militia was his thing at the time. You know, he went ahead and found another cause, but at the time it was that, so he went ahead and picked me up and this other guy, and we went down there. And I found out that better than a third, you know, by 40% of them were Christian Identity. It surprised the crap out of them. Here comes Red Mike Vanderkuyt. He's trying to get in, and he has a history of trying to bully people, especially women, by going ahead and waving a loaded 45 in their face. And essentially, they wouldn't allow him on the place here because they said, look, you know, look, Red Mike, you know, you greasy old Khazar. You know, there's a bunch of Christian Identity people, and they got guns too, and you go ahead and, you know, you have a Jew waving a 45 at people here. Essentially, we're just going to have one dead Jew, and, you know, we're just going to have a lot of trouble that we don't need to have. So they wouldn't allow him on the place.
Well, but, a lot of characters, good. That's for sure, and you got to be very careful. And
well,
the internet is the internet, you know?
Yeah, as I say, there's a famous cartoon, you can't tell he's a dog on the internet. Well, the thing about it is that, you know, these people, even in the movement, they're notoriously camera shy. And I'm not sure if it's because of mixture that they're the spawn of Satan and automatically know how to do it, or they're trained to avoid this. But these two Missouri Highway Patrol, by this time they've gone ahead and become, you know, they become, usually what they gravitate is to becoming the security officer. Because
Lindstedt, are you there?
Yeah,
this is Obadiah 83. I've been leaving messages here on the screen. This is my first time calling in to talk to you. How are you doing?
Hey, Don, could you hold on?
I'm sorry?
Okay, yeah, well, go ahead, Obadiah.
I've been listening to you because I'm really interested, you know, in hearing what Christian Identity Brothers have to say. I haven't heard you talk much about the identity, but you talked about a lot of the people that are involved in it. You know, I've just been asking you questions, and it seems you were saying some bad things about somebody named Obadiah. Were you talking about me or somebody else? I can't understand.
Are you Obadiah 118?
No.
I think you're getting. I think you're not the same people here. This is a different Obadiah.
No, you know, I'm a man of respect, Pastor Lindstedt, and I don't.
Wait! Are you Obadiah 118?
No, I am Obadiah 83.
Okay, you're not the Obadiah 118 who's been showing up on Pastor Visser's forum.
No, I don't think I'd go on Pastor Visser's forum.
Okay. What happens is somebody called Obadiah 118 who is, essentially what happens is that this character says that he was grown up in Australia, and essentially he's caused a whole bunch of crap here about, oh, you use too many four-letter words, and you need to be censored, you need to be that. And essentially this person is a notorious gender bender, and when I was talking about Obadiah, yeah, I've seen Obadiah 83, and Obadiah 83. You're not Obadiah 118, then.
No.
Okay. Well, this Obadiah 118 has been hiding behind a you know, beautiful young woman's avatar. But what happens, this character is about 41, 50, 40, from 49 to 53.
Oh, and no, I'm a robust 28 years old and on fire for Jesus Christ.
Okay, so you're not, okay, well, then you're definitely not Obadiah 118. But we've been
I'm not an older gentleman, although I do rise before the hoary head. Our elders are the, Pastor Butler said in Aryan Warrior Stand, he says that the elderly are our national and historical treasures, the wisdom of our race and nation here. And they deserve the utmost respect.
Well, they can be, but I, you know, what happens is I've gotten to where I'm, what, 52? And a lot of people my generation, all they did was get old. They did not get any wiser. They didn't, you know, they haven't amounted to anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
age does not exactly mean wisdom. I mean, how old was Solomon when he fell into unwise choices?
Well, Solomon got led, just like a lot of Whiggers, into problems by means of the specter here. Anyway, go on and tell me what you want to say now that we got your identity straightened out.
Okay, all right. Here's the thing. I do use an assumed name while talking in forums and the like. When I go to functions, I do not use an assumed name. Okay?
Okay.
I do this just for, you know, the purpose of the authorities, and I don't need every Jew who's watching knowing exactly what my name is. But I've never had a problem with going and meeting brothers and sisters from different identity churches, even traveling across the nation to meet brothers and sisters, or traveling across the nation to meet somebody halfway for a knife fight for disrespect and dishonor and all that, you know, armchair Nazi stuff that a lot of these guys do on the computer. I don't like to do that. Men shouldn't do that. You know, if I insult somebody.
The thing about it is that usually the only time I went to a rally was in May of 2004, and that was essentially to go ahead and see Pastor Butler before he died. You know, pretty well, I'm not too impressed by what goes on at these rallies. I was running for governor at the time. And, you know, that was the second reason. I got to go ahead and meet Alex Linder and, Billy Roper, as well as Pastor Butler, and I got to meet Rick Spring. I'm trying to go ahead and talk people to doing is essentially, you know, now with computers and webcams or something like that, you can end up having a conference call of people who do go ahead and meet. But what I'm trying to do is essentially, you know, pretty well keep the vast majority of Christian identity, you know, dual seed line, in many cases, is above ground pastors. But what you end up having is that, you know, the vast majority of Christian identity are these small 2 and 3 family one seed line churches. And what I'm trying to do is, pretty well upgrade them to where they're dual seed line, because it's by far the stronger and smarter and more biblically accurate belief system. But I don't want these small 2 or 3 family congregations to go ahead and become known to the authorities. And that's why I really am not big on these particular rallies. One of the things I'm trying to set up, and part of it is with this TalkShoe internet radio, which is cheap and easy. But, you know, also, Craig, I call him Corn Cob, has his own little video streaming system. And that's one of my goals, is to go ahead and create what I call a Christian Identity News Network. But, you know, I'm not really big on these rallies, because then you end up having about every Jew and every, you know, every mamzer, and what they like doing is they like going ahead and taking pictures of people with children, and then guess what? You're going to end up losing your kids because, oh, my God, it's a hate crime. It's child abuse to go ahead and teach your kid to be a hater.
I'm definitely familiar with the family courts and what they do, yes.
Well, I, I pretty well had my grandchildren stripped away from me through the family courts, and then got, you know, essentially got railroaded for 3.5 years in that house because I refused to have a lawyer, and, you know, the case fell apart, you know, on a bogus child molestation case. I mean, there was no way they were going to go ahead and prove, well, did you kiss your grandson's penis in the privacy of your own house? Well, how can you prove whether it did or did not happen? And the answer of it is that, you know, essentially what they want to do is they want to go ahead and railroad me and get a whole bunch of wiggers. Oh, he's a hater. And then pretty well I was told that they were going to go ahead and try to have me railroaded, convicted of child molestation, and murdered in prison. And that's what Zog
does. I'll tell you what. God Almighty walked on this earth in the flesh, and he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and they said he was he casted out devils by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. So
yeah.
You know, we should expect nothing less than to be scorned and persecuted, prosecuted for crimes we'd never committed. Of course, that's going to happen. That's the lot of the Christian, and even more so the lot of the Christian revolutionary.
That is true. But what I try to tell people is that, you know, it's not written in the Bible that dual seedline is going to go ahead and overthrow Zog Babylon. Rather, you're going to end up having a great tribulation by which essentially Zog goes ahead and overthrows itself. I mean, people like, you know, like this Mamzer who was whining about, you know, me advocating genocide. You know, the fact of the matter is that
I don't mince words. The scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And
okay.
I've always tried to, you know, talk to people like that. Do you advocate genocide, Pastor?
What happens is that essentially, you know, if you're talking about Mamzer side, I advocate Mamzer side.
I advocate
what I call Wigger side. The thing about it is, though, is that it's not going to be the dual seed line church which goes ahead and brings it about. It's going to be part of the normal process of imperial collapse. See, I tell people is that essentially we're on, you know, this happened around 2000, you know, after 9/11. I went ahead and said that the smart resistant activist goes with the flow of history. And there's not been a single mighty evil empire yet which has stood. Because every time there's an empire, it's founded by a strong white people. And what ends up happening is that you end up getting a corrupt elite, and they go ahead and let the Jews in. And essentially what they do is they go ahead and destroy their own founding people. And that's what happened in Persia. That's what happened in, I tell people, the 2004 flick about Alexander, with Angela Jolie, and I despise that bitch, but essentially you end up having these people there, said, Alexander, we want to go home. We're tired of you making yourself into a god. We're tired of beating the crap out of these monkey people. And essentially all this gold we're having isn't bringing us back to our farms in Macedonia where we can go ahead and breed our children and hold our grandchildren. We want to go home, Alexander. And you end up having the Anthony Hopkins person played by Ptolemy say, we had to end up killing Alexander, you know, before he went ahead and destroyed us. And essentially, that's exactly what happens with every single empire. That's what happens with Rome. And that's what's going to end up happening with Zog.
I'm a history major, so I understand why nations rise and fall. And we all know that. You know, this is more or less the thing that I want to bring to you, and or what I would like to bring to the conversation for the listeners, is that truly, I guess you could say, matter what each and every single person does. You know, not every single person who's a Christian has to wield an AK-47 or attempt to overthrow the United States government by force. Christ will do that. Christ reigns supreme. He reigns sovereign. That the Zog will fall when Christ decides that it will fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, men have absolutely no control over their own destiny. Not a blade of grass moves without Christ's command. You know, the thing that we see is that there's been a strong departure from Calvinistic principles in the Christian identity. We've, you know, a lot of people say, oh, this Christian identity book, that Christian identity book. Well, what about the institutes of the Christian religion? What about the Bible? They talk about Israel. What about Jesus?
Okay. Well, hold on. Okay. Could you go ahead and repeat? I was talking to Pastor. I was talking to Pastor Sixkiller. You know, at the moment here.
Okay.
I have him online. So you were saying that not a blade of grass, not spell falls, or not a blade of grass grows without the permission of Jesus. And then what? You know. Then what was after that?
More or less, what I mean to say is that identity has ceased to become a Christ-centered religion. You know, it's a simple fact of history and a simple biblical fact that we white people, the Aryan, are God's true chosen people. We are the Israelites. We all know that.
Okay.
You know what I see in the identity today is that they're committing the same sins that the Pharisees did. When Christ came and the Pharisees were around him, the Pharisees and the Jews did not accept the personal message of salvation in Christ. All they were concerned with was the national redemption of Israel, and they rejected him. Now you have the Judeo churches that do the opposite. Oh, all they want to preach is Christ crucified, and you know, nothing else matters. The national message of redemption through Christ, it doesn't matter. And now you have the identity again, repeating the same mistakes that the Pharisees did in Christ's time. There's
generally it depends here. Like this, I call him James the Juice here. What happens is that what I see is a bunch of people who come from the Baptist church or wherever, the Pentecostal church, and what they want to do is they want to go ahead and bring in their own particular heresies which have nothing to do with Christ's law. Now, generally, every single one of us, we don't exactly believe exactly in the Protestant to where by grace alone are you saved, because we say that there do have to be works.
You know, faith without works.
Generally, you have to go ahead and obey Christ's law. The thing about it is that what I'm very much against is essentially going ahead and saying that certain things are Christ's law when Christ didn't say that they were the law, and they're not mentioned in the Bible. But I do believe that you do have to have works in addition to faith for personal salvation.
Pastor Linsa, am I still there?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I just kind of wanted to change the subject for a moment, if I may.
Sure.
All right. You know, I started out as a skinhead as a kid, and
okay.
I found the Christian identity, and you know, all that worldly skinhead type stuff. You know, eventually, I kind of left it where it was, and
you grew older.
But this is what I want to tell you, Pastor, is that I don't believe that skinheads are unrighteous in and of themselves. Now, we've got a lot of idiots. I mean, you turn on your Tel Aviv vision, and they've got every single documentary and program you'd ever want to see on the IKA or this group or that group. And it, of course, misrepresents the skinhead movement.
Well,
there are righteous skinheads. I know skinheads that are working class Christian folks who may or may not have been in prison. But, you know, and that's another thing that I want to talk about, too, is, you know, I've heard a lot of accusations of people just being criminals and stuff. You know, honestly, I don't think that matters. I think that the prisons are a good place. They're a fertile recruiting ground for identity Christians, for people who are uprooted culturally and alienated from the mainstream Judeo churches. It's the perfect place. We must absolutely radicalize and fanaticize the prison populations with hardline, dual-seed-line Christian identity.
Okay. Let me go ahead and respond to that. You know, the problem of it is like this character like Brian Wright. In many cases, what I've seen with Aryan Brotherhood or something like that, I was looking at that here, and I was confined for 3.5 years in the jails and the nut house with essentially criminals. And many times when they talk about Aryan Brotherhood, and, you know, Pastor Fink, he spent 12 years in jail, and then what happened to you?
Hail William Fink.
Amen.
Yeah.
God bless him. The thing about it is that generally in many cases, you know, in the case of Aryan Brotherhood, what you end up having is that you don't have, you had in the early days when it first got founded, you know, it was very much Christian identity, but what now it is it's just pretty well just a bunch of dark-eyed Anglo-Mestizos or Mamzers. And essentially what they're doing, they're just going ahead and it's just pretty well just an excuse to go ahead and sell drugs in many cases.
Oh, yeah, no, I absolutely agree.
And
you're absolutely right.
I come
from Southern California, and I do all my time in the California prison system. And, you know, the difference between what those people were and what they are now is a very big
okay.
difference.
You know, the second thing, and, you know, pretty well that's pretty well what I'm working on, is that, I mean, I talked to Pastor John Britton, and his uncle was Newman Britton, who was Butler's first successor, and you know,
sure.
his father James was actually ordained by Wesley Swift before Richard Butler. And what happens is that there's a lot of people who thought that Wesley Swift's first successor, Connie Lynch, was actually sent to jail, and then after he got out of jail, he died of a heart attack. There's a lot of people who thought that essentially Connie Lynch was murdered. What happens with Wesley Swift in many cases is a lot like what happened with Herbert Armstrong, in that essentially Christian identity used to be pretty much a family oriented, you know, racially aware religion. And when Butler ended up becoming the successor to Wesley Swift, and there were a lot of people who did not like it, including the Britons and the people who were family members from long time. And essentially, it's just like, you know, James Britton went ahead and asked toward the end of Butler's life, Richard, why are you surrounding yourself with all this skinhead rabble? And Butler didn't have anything to say because the problem of it was is that by the time that Butler came in, Butler didn't have anybody except mainly prison rabble, except for a few people who still stuck by Butler, even though, you know, essentially they didn't agree with what had become here. What I'm trying to do is trying to get away. I mean, I'm not trying to neglect, you know, essentially the skinhead or whatever population, but I don't know. See, what I see about the skinheads or something like that, it's totally somewhat a little bit alien, because usually the Christian identity is usually rural. You know, I live pretty well on the edge of the biggest pocket of it in the Ozarks. Pretty well the dead center as far as Christian identity is probably Harrison, Arkansas, which is about 85, 90 miles away, you know, east of me. But the thing about it is that what I'm trying to do is trying to go ahead and get it back to where it is a, you know, it is a family organization. And then pretty well in many cases let the internet or, you know, some prison ministries go ahead and take care of the skinhead population here. But like you said before, in many cases, you know, they're like with the Aryan Brotherhood or something like that, it's become essentially a bunch of Mamzers saying that they're white and then going ahead and working on trying to go ahead and cause trouble and trying to steal stuff. And
so too with Christendom. But
okay.
We, you know, we don't stop calling ourselves Christians just because there's some Mamzer rabble, you know, amongst them.
Well,
I understand your reasoning, and I think that you're absolutely right. I think that the best thing you've said all night is skinhead rabble.
That's pretty well what James Britton had to ask Pastor Butler. And toward the end, that was all Butler was surrounded by. This Gerald O'Brien, character.
Tell me about him.
Well, from what I gather, he's the head of the Aryan Nations because essentially they're the ones that go ahead and make a big deal about it. When I got out of jail, I wasn't sure where to go ahead and talk to Jay Faber, and the SPLC went ahead and did a hit piece, and they didn't mention my name, they didn't mention Pastor Visser's name, people who were actually having somewhat of a following. They went ahead and mentioned Jay Faber's name, and I went ahead and a couple times my internet was down. I found out that Jay Faber had been trying to contact me in 2000 and 2002 and try to get my attention. And the thing with Jay Faber is that essentially August Christ went ahead and made him his chaplain. And then, Christ was pretty well in rebellion against Butler, along with Ray Redfern. Well, Ray Redfern decided to go ahead and make peace with Butler, and then he went ahead and died in 2003, and pretty well, that's the main problem in that, I've been in the movement for 15, 16 years, and you end up giving certain people a little bit of power, it immediately goes to their little heads, and they go ahead and start banning people, and they start kicking people out.
So then what you're saying is that Gerald O'Brien,
Gerald O'Brien,
I'm trying to figure out because, I've looked at the website, I've read the literature, and I've been around for a while, too, since I was a very young man. And I've really never thought anything bad about those men, and I haven't really, I understand August Christ is a turd. He's a grade A piece of biped humanoid. I wouldn't even call him a man. He's garbage.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. Now,
who's this?
August Christ.
Well, yeah, August Christ had a bad reputation for being a mooch, and pretty well. You've always had the Jews tried to go ahead and create who they thought should be the head of the Aryan Nations.
Even while
Pastor Butler was alive, around my neck of the woods. Don Gaiman lives about 55 miles. Dan Gaiman. And Dan Gaiman is just simply someone who stole from his own brother, and essentially he went ahead and supposedly took money from the Order bank robbery, and then he went ahead and said, "No, I didn't take it." Then he went ahead and testified against, people.
Yeah, we all know who Dan Gaiman is. We all know who Dan Gaiman, Sneak Peters, and all those characters. We know who they are.
The thing about it is that here you have the media trying to go ahead and make them hit. And they tried to do the same thing with August Christ in 2003.
So,
and that's where Faber came in. Faber was essentially Christ's chaplain, who he went ahead and appointed. And then he went ahead and rebelled against Christ in 2005. And when I got out of jail, here he is with these people from Aryan Front. And what happens is I go ahead and hear these people claim to be Aryan Nations. And I says, what they are is that they're pagans. And I said, well, why are you Aryan Nations? Well, I gave August Christ $25. And I says, that don't cut it.
I guess this is what I want to know, or if you could clarify for me. Now,
sure.
Do you think that, because Pastor Faber at one point followed Christ, and Christ turned out to be a piece of garbage, shortly thereafter, Pastor Faber leaves Christ, and now they're enemies. Does that make Pastor Faber bad? Because I've had personal friends who were my friends for years who ended up turning state's evidence.
It happens
sometimes.
The thing about Faber is that here he was, and we were going to be buddies, and we were going to work in alliance. And then, I go ahead and set up a forum, and some Jewess from MTV goes ahead and he pays attention to me, and he, Faber just has a ringtail fit. And he goes ahead, and it's on the 18th of June. And essentially, well, what happens, we're going to go ahead and disassociate ourselves with you. He went ahead and banned me from his, he banned me from his forum or, you know, whatever. And I'm wondering, what in the world is going on?
Why did he ban you before him, can I ask?
I have no idea. He said, well, I don't want anything. You know, I think he was just, essentially, he was just jealous because some Jewess from MTV, you know, went ahead and got on my new forum and didn't pay attention to Faber.
And
you know, I don't think, you know, in the end, I don't think it's going to boil down to forums and all of this chit chat. And
no, well,
like
no. I
want to stress to you that this is the first time I've ever called and had a talk on a show like this or anything, because what I do is I study the word and I try to spread the gospel to God's people. And when I'm met by force, I eliminate it with force. I've spent half of my adult life in prison because of this. You know,
you're in prison?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. For weapons charges, hate crime when I was a younger man.
You're how old now?
28.
Okay. See the thing about it is that you know, the problem with Faber is he went ahead and essentially the agreement I'd made with Faber is that everybody in his own area essentially runs his church as he sees fit. I run Southwest Missouri as I see fit. Pastor Visser, he runs his church in Georgia as he sees fit. Jay Faber runs his, you know, his church in New Jersey as he sees fit. And the thing about it is that within two counties of me, they're one seedliners. There's more Christianity people. There's more Christianity congregations let me go on. What happens is that Faber essentially went ahead and broke our agreement. And then, you know, this was around the time of seven days before Hal Turner got arrested by the FBI. And then a month later, Turner's lawyer reveals that he's a rat. And then a month later, he's revealed he's not only a rat, but he's a provocateur. And at the same time, here's Faber trying to go ahead and get people to go ahead and kick me out of my church. And I'm looking, you idiot. How are you going to do that? I mean, my church is incorporated in Missouri. You know, how are any idiots going to go ahead and sit together and have a vote just to, you know, kicking me out of the church? And, you know, it was not only me. You know, he was going ahead and breaking his deals and trying to run things for people who lived in Texas and Tennessee. You know, essentially, I went ahead and told the guy in Texas, as far as I'm concerned, you run your church the way you see fit, and I'll run the church the way I see fit. And that was the deal we had with Faber. And what Faber's trying to do is he's trying to go ahead and I'm going to run it all. Well, no, you're not. And essentially, Faber just went ahead and lied and, you know, broke his deal and acted like a total fruit loop. And what happens is that, you know, here he's big buddies with Hal Turner. And, you know what happened to Hal Turner? Hal Turner is not only a rat, but an agent provocateur. It turns out that Hal Turner has ties with the Area Nations of New Jersey. Well, who's that? Well, it's none other than old Sci-Fi Faber. And essentially, this
Sci-Fi,
within this left.
Sci-Fi Faber, you call him? Why do you call him that?
Well, what happens is that he got, when I was on the Area in front, what he had is he had a place for Area Nations to go ahead and be on Area in front. And what happens is that I got on there and said, look, if you're not Christian Identity, you have no business claiming to be Aryan Nations. And these people had a fit. And this guy named David Donald Schwame from New York, he calls himself Dave from New York, essentially, he went ahead and told me that he was not only Christian Identity. He thought that rednecks, you know, in flyover country who lived in trailer houses were worse than niggers. And I'm looking at this, and, you know, so in other words, you don't like Rio, you don't like white people who live in flyover country. You're not Christian identity. Why are you hanging around? Essentially, I don't know why you're hanging around. And I sort of thought that Aryan front was simply nothing more than just another Zog Falls front. Anyway, Adam called me and called a child molester and all this sort of shit, even though they knew the charges by then had been dismissed. And, you know, essentially, what happens is once they were no longer able to claim Aryan, you know, that they were Aryan nations, essentially their forum, you know, just pretty well died. And then the guy who was doing this, he used to hang around Tom Robb, and I think he got kicked out. And he died of liver cancer this summer, and I did not miss him at all. But, you know, essentially you end up having all these Zog Falls fronts. You know, VNNF, it's a Zog Falls front, paid for by Trader Glenn Miller. And I met Trader Glenn Miller and met Alex Winder. And Spur Front, you know, it's another Zog Falls front. And Four Fags Feeds, it's another Zog Falls front. So you end up having, you know, in the movement, the vast majority of them are just simply paid for and organized by Zog to go ahead and have Uyghurs run around in circles. So what happens, you use the Internet for communications, but what you do is that you decentralize everything in it. And that's why I've been trying to tell for the last, you know, people ever since 1996, 1997, is that the movement isn't a hierarchy. What it is, it's sort of like a jellyfish. It's a node of communications, and you go ahead and use those communications to go ahead and talk with each other. But essentially, you're decentralizing everything. With Sci-Fi Favor, he was trying to go ahead and make himself command of it all, and I got wind from somebody that, you know, I maintain my own network of spies, and essentially what it boiled down to is he's going to go ahead and merge with Gerald O'Brien. What happens is last February, a year ago, old Sci-Fi was screaming that Gerald O'Brien had called him up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and disrespected him, and what happens is that he was just nothing but a Jew and an Asian provocateur and all this sort of thing. And he was on the outs with Gerald O'Brien. What happens though is that, you know, where you get the term Sci-Fi, you know, Faber. What happens is this guy named old Bob from Boston, you know, who called himself the rice critter, who we called the rice shitter, called him Sci-Fi Faber, and Sci-Fi just had a fit. And what he did, he says, I'm going to go ahead and delete the Aryan Nation subforum of Aryan Front. I said, don't do that. Because what happens if you go ahead and you do that, you're going to be destroying everybody's intellectual property you posted there, and they're going to blame you for it. If you want, what you do is that you go ahead and you tell your people in your church to go ahead and start pulling away from Aryan Front. Start saving their posts. And what you do is you tell them to go ahead and do that. And then if Bob goes ahead and he deletes it, it's going to be on him. But if you go ahead and do it, it's going to be on you. And you would have thought that such a, you know, just a, you know, you don't be seen screwing your own would have been, would be noticeable to old Sci-Fi. But old Sci-Fi, he was, you know what I mean, he went ballistic because old Bob called him Sci-Fi. So anyway, since old Faber, he goes ballistic and don't like being called Sci-Fi, I end up calling him Sci-Fi. That's the origin of the term. But, you know, what happens is that old Sci-Fi didn't have any qualms about destroying his own people's information. He didn't mind them to go ahead and destroying the poster. I said, you go ahead and you nuke your Aryan Nation forum that old Dave from New York gives you. What happens, they'll just go ahead, you know, he has a backup, he'll probably just go ahead and destroy the backup, and you'll be the asshole. Rather, what you do is you let old Boob, old Dave, be the asshole by going ahead and kicking you out. But what you do is you go ahead and give him advance, you know, you go ahead and give him advance warning just simply to go ahead and let this thing die on the vine and take their intellectual property with them. A month later, what happens is that here comes old Bob and says, you're a quarrelsome tribe, and what happens if you don't post anything, I'm going to go ahead and delete the forum.
And I went ahead and deliberately, ridiculed old Boob, the rice critter, and old Boob went ballistic, and then he went ahead and hit the storm himself, you know what I mean? But, essentially, what happened with Sci-Fi is you just can't trust them not to go ahead and screw his own people. And that's pretty well the deal of the deal was, is that he went ahead and, there are people from Texas. He's from New Jersey, and we went ahead and had a deal with it. If I go ahead and build up a church, it's going to be mine to run if I want. And here he is trying to tell people what to do. And they said, Sci-Fi, take a hike. And here he goes, and the guy from Texas, he's an FBI plant or something like that. Well, the fact of the matter is that here's Sci-Fi going ahead and breaking every arrangement and every deal that he had. And then what happens is that, he lies to people. He goes ahead and tries to manipulate people. And they get mad about this sort of thing. And then it turns out that Hal Turner is not only a rat, but he's an agent provocateur. His big buddy, his whole Sci-Fi favor. Guess what? Who needs Sci-Fi? So.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a problem with any of Pastor Faber's theology?
Well, what happens is that, I go ahead and I listen to Faber's theology. Essentially, all consists of the screaming, death to the Jew, death to the Jew. I listened to one of his sermons, and it was okay, but, there really wasn't very much. There wasn't really much there other than screaming, death to the Jew, death to the Jew. Well, that's fine, but,
That was kind of my question. The few times I've been over to the site there isn't a whole lot that tells you much about their statement of doctrine or anything. It's not real clear.
Strictly to attract and fanaticize people. You've got these, you got different degrees, I guess, of people who believe in the Christian identity. You have people like Sneak Peters and those people out there in Idaho, their Lord's Covenant Church, whatever it is, who teach out and out blasphemies. And then you have people like these Christian separatists here in Tennessee that are a cult. And then you have single seed liners, dual seed liners. I think that when you go from the bottom of the spectrum to the top, it's people who are generally don't care about a struggle for Aryan existence on the face of this earth. The turn-the-cheek people who would let their wives and daughters be raped in the ashes of their burned-out homes. And then you have, single seed liners that, may be interested in guns and their people or whatever, but they're collecting a paycheck and they got their white picket fence. And you have dual seed liners who understand that the only way that we can ever have a Christian society on this earth is to kill every single Jew on this earth, which has been prophesied in the book of Obadiah. We know that the Lord will do this.
Now, people
like these Phineas priests, these vigilantes of Christendom who are most righteous people. We, not all of us obey God's laws to go in and slay the Uyghur or this person or that person, but these people do. And I don't believe they're criminals. They're not criminals by God's law.
That
attracts people like that, and I think that it provides a service to all of Christendom.
Okay.
We can go on and we can grasp at straws and we can talk crap on everybody who's involved in the movement, or we can start to unite and heal these splintered factions.
As far as unity is concerned, I must agree with Willie Martin is that unity is a curse. In fact, what happens is that my interest here, and that's one reason that I ended up having a problem with old Sci-Fi, is essentially he wanted to go ahead and unify it underneath himself, and he wasn't very honorable, and essentially pretty well turned everybody off. But the reason that our church is alive or functioning is that it's massively decentralized. Here in Newton County, there's three Christian identity churches that I know of. They know me. I know them. I sort of know of them. I don't go ahead and inquire to them here. And some of them, I mean, they're just a bunch of sacred name stuff, and all they do is talk, you know, they just pretty well sing, well, when you call me, then call me Yahweh. And that's that. And they're decent people. And socially, they're not, you know, they're not, they don't love the government, but, you know, they're not dual feedliners. And essentially what I'm trying to do is go ahead and upgrade these single feedline churches to where they do understand dual feedline. But essentially, I don't want to go ahead and unify them. I mean, that is the good thing about the fact that, as you say before, there are splinters, because essentially Zog can't go ahead and, you know, find out who they are or where they exist. And, one of my projects is, I call it the 10,000 Warlords Project. And essentially, you only have 1 in 20 whites are able to have any degree of leadership ability. And what happens is that you go ahead and you teach these warlords essentially some of the basics of Christian identity, to where essentially when this nation, you know, when this mighty evil empire falls into pieces, you end up having 10,000 pockets of warlords who will fight with each other. Let's understand that. But essentially what happens is that they go ahead and first, you know, not unite, but essentially they're each working on their own to go ahead and destroy Zog. And it's part of what's called fourth generational warfare. Now, I do not at all want to unify the movement. I certainly don't want to unify it under my control or my understanding. When people go ahead and send me, it's just like, you know, in the 1990s, when I ran a militia, or when I edited a militia internet newsletter. Essentially, people go ahead and they tell me what they want me to understand. And I used to work with Lewis Beam and with David Lane. And essentially, what boiled down to me, you know, down is that they'd go ahead and tell me what they wanted revealed, and I'd go ahead and reveal it. And, you know, essentially, I believe in a decentralized movement. And, no, I mean.
Well, maybe, Pastor Winston, maybe I didn't make myself fully understood. I didn't mean organization. When I said unity, I didn't mean organization. The scripture says how good it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. The unity I was talking about was a unity of mind and spirit. Be ye all of one mind. Now, that's what I meant. Of course, I didn't mean any type of organizational get-togethers, you know, because we know that Adolf Hitler said that conglomerations like that, by their very nature, have the seeds of a future destruction within them.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, you have so many Asian provocateurs and snitches and idiots and all this sort of thing, and I don't know. Essentially, I believe in decentralization, and that's what needs to be is that it's not going to happen overnight. But the thing about it is that the church is massively decentralized now. The only thing that what I'm trying to do is essentially go ahead and upgrade these one seed line churches to where they understand the dual seed line doxology, you know, better. Not like, for example, my pastor, you know, my friend, Pastor John Britton, you know, he goes ahead and says that it wasn't just Satan who was going ahead and spawning, going ahead and, you know, creating all these demon seeds. You had 200 watchers who were Satan's fallen angels who were running around in Genesis chapter 6. And I say, well, that might very well be true, but it's hard enough to try to go ahead and tell Wiggers, you know, about the one seed, you know, about the two seed lines here. If you're going to go ahead and add up another 200 seed lines of, you know, demon beasts, it's just going to go ahead and confuse the issue. What happens is you go ahead and you upgrade them to basic Comparé-style dual seed line. See, dual seed line is essentially, you know, with men like, you know, Teacher Think and Emhizer, essentially, it's pretty well, very much a dynamic religion. But
Pastor Lindstedt, I understand how they indoctrinate those on the first on the milk of the word and then the meat. I've been indoctrinating young men and women for quite some time. You know, that I guess the point that I'm getting to, the point that I would like to get across for the listeners, is that all of this dual seed line, single seed line, or whatever and how have you, it all boils down to Christ or death. Christ is king. It's either black or white. There's white, there's Christ, there's Smith, there's Christianity, and all else is death. And all else is to either be just put to death, just completely obliterated from the earth. This isn't a gentlemanly, scholarly debate or some theological university that's being led here by the Christian identity. We're leading the armies of Christ into war against the devil. That's what people, I think, need to get a grasp on. You know, it's not about chat rooms. It's not about forums. It's not about literature. It's about doing God's will, Christ's will, abiding by the laws of Christ, because that's how we prove that we love him. And one of those laws we know is to utterly destroy everything that is not of him.
Okay, well,
it's in Luke 19:27, those that would not that I should reign over, bring hither, slay them before me, all of them.
Okay. Well, I do somewhat agree, but for the moment, what I'm trying to do is essentially get away from change the focus from the skinhead organization from when Pastor Butler went ahead and took over in 1972 or 1973, and get it back to Wesley Swift's principles of essentially having Christian identity families. Understand what's going on. And essentially that is exactly what I'm trying to do. And, that was one of the things I did not, agree with, with Faber because, he has maybe three people in all of New Jersey, and one of them's Hal Turner, who's one of his supporters. Whereas I end up knowing of about 30 people in Newton McDonald County or Christian identity. I mean, there's more people albeit one seed line who, live within 30 miles of me than, about 10 or 20 times how many people, Faber knows. And he's going to go ahead and tell me how to run my church in Southwest Missouri. He's going to go ahead and try to tell somebody in Texas how to run his church or Tennessee or Georgia. And the answer of it is that, that's not going to happen.
I was curious too. Now, you had a falling out with Pastor Faber. Have you ever challenged him to a duel, trial by combat?
Why would I challenge him to a duel? He's probably younger than me. I'm 52 years old. I got a bad hip. Especially he might very well kill me. That just goes ahead, and all that proves is that Sci-Fi is able to kill me. You know what I mean? But. Look, Faber. I mean, essentially, what happens is that you went ahead and broke our deal, and I pretty well sat on it for about a month until it was revealed that because I didn't want to put Hal Turner, Sci-Fi Faber's big friend, in trouble. Well, when old Sci-Fi was revealed to be a rat. He went ahead and revealed he was a rat. Well, now who cares if old Hal Turner gets in trouble? You know what I mean? I don't care. I mean, shoot, it's all just going in on us rats here. It's pretty well just beating the crap out of Hal Turner and Bill White / Weiss and, Trader Glenn Miller and essentially good. So I'll go after and kill all your rats. I don't really care. But,
what's more or less the thing? With me, I've been involved in this movement. I've been a Christian for a long time, and we are, I guess, and we always have been on the fringe of society unless we have an entire healthy Christian nation. Christians are the ones that are sought out and slain by the Jew. They slew the prophet.
They're
contrary to all men, and they're especially contrary to Christians. And they got our backs up against the wall right now. And, you know, I get sick of hearing all of this stuff. Everybody's talking crap on everybody. You know, I personally don't say anything about a man that I wouldn't repeat straight to his face and knife fight him to the death over. Because,
well,
honor is absolutely critical to the health of a nation.
Okay.
And
well,
when we're around dishonoring people, you know, we sow the seeds of discord for the entire nation.
Well,
so,
I don't. In the case of sci-fi, I went ahead and it got revealed to me here that you've been going ahead and plotting and sneaking against me. And I was thinking, what the hell? Yeah, what is going on? I mean, what do you hope to prove? And essentially, I think he's pretty well got to the end of his rope, so he went ahead and joined his church with old Gerald LeBron, who, you know, a year ago he was screaming was an FBI stooge or something like that. And essentially, none of this is ever going to amount to anything. Whereas actually going ahead and quietly, you know, upgrading the one feed line churches to dual feed line. I mean, you're talking about, you know, I mean, I came up in Herbert Armstrong's church, and, you know, at one time Herbert Armstrong had, at, you know, his biggest Feast of Tabernacles, he had 156,000 people going to his church, you know, to his Feast of Tabernacles. And these people
know that Herbert Armstrong was a blasphemer, and he taught that
I know all about Herbert Armstrong. You know, I know all about Herbert Armstrong. I'm not a big fan of Herbert Armstrong's. But what happens is Wesley Swift, when he died, had a church which was 20 times bigger than what, you know, Pastor Butler ended up with. Well, really, 1,000 times bigger than what Pastor Butler ended up with. And essentially, what I'm trying to do, just go ahead and use the internet to go ahead and, you know, go back to a family base, you know, to a family based, you know, dual seed line Christianity church. And, you know, essentially what happens is by going ahead and talking, I call it the movement turd. And essentially I go ahead and tell people what is going on in the movement turd. See, I've been around for what, 15, 16 years.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to get this. The whole purpose of the program is to talk crap on people that are in the movement?
No. The whole purpose is to pretty well just go ahead and tell what is going on in the movement. If people, you know, if anybody wants to go, Trader Glenn Miller, Alex Flender, Sci-Fi Faber, if they want to go ahead and call in and argue the matter with me, that's fine by me. I don't have anything to hide, but essentially, if they do something here, I think people do need to know about it. And,
right. The whole thing is that there's so much disunity among Christians today.
What I'm trying to say is that what keeps our church strong isn't, you know, it is in fact that disunity to where Zog cannot go ahead and, you know, floss up in one fell swoop.
You misunderstand me, sir. I did not mean organization. Again, what I mean by unity is that we all love each other. We don't besmirch each other in public.
Hello, can I make one comment here?
Sure, go
one
ahead.
One comment. I mean, you're a young man with, I think, some very excellent ideas and some very excellent desires and things that we would all love to see. Unity. But you have to take into consideration that, you know, it's a very complicated scene. And everyone out there who is operating under the name of Christian or Christian identity, they have a variety of motivations and drives for doing so. Not all of them are even real believers. Many of them may look very white, but may not be entirely white. And being in such a complex milieu, you have to be aware. You can't have unity with everyone. You have to be very careful about who you have unity with. And you have to know who you're associating with and get to know things about them, because we live in a particularly now, a very dangerous world and a very dangerous situation. And throw into that mix the factor that, you know, Yahweh is dealing with a remnant at this point. And that remnant's being winnowed down further and further all the time, just like Gideon's army. So while you look out and you see what appear to be white brethren, and you have the, you know, the greatest instincts in the world to want to pull them all into a situation of harmony, I don't think that in reality it's doable. You know what I mean?
I understand exactly what you're saying, and once again, I want to impress upon the listeners that when I say unity, I again do not mean organization.
No, but I mean even harmony and getting along with each one sort of running their own little situation wherever they are.
Oh, of course, you know the churches that the early churches were completely autonomous.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, let's say you end up having someone like Sci-Fi Faber. What happens, he goes ahead and he makes a deal that, guess what? Everyone in our Aryan Nations Alliance essentially has autonomy in his state. If I see somebody from New Jersey who wants to go ahead and essentially is interested in Christianity, I refer to him to Jay Faber. And then what happens is Jay Faber turned out thoroughly unreliable. What happens is that now, since he has Pastor Fink here, I go ahead and refer him to Pastor Fink. Likewise, if Pastor Fink hears somebody in Missouri who wants to learn about Christian identity, he goes ahead and needs to refer them to me. And likewise in Georgia, and likewise in Texas. And that was the agreement made with Faber. And the thing about it is that for nothing other than his vanity, Faber went ahead and broke, this arrangement. And then what happens, it turns out that, okay, yeah, I'm buddies with Hal Turner, and, you know, guess what? You know, what happened with Hal Turner? Hal Turner is essentially going ahead and using Faber. You know, I don't know if it's with Faber's connivance or not here, but the thing about it is that the reason that this show might very well be listened to is that I've been around in the movement, and I know where a lot of the bodies are, and I've met these people in actuality. So what happens if I go ahead and say something about someone here, they are at complete liberty to go ahead and join my fam. And go ahead and take issue with what I said about them. But the thing about it is that essentially, once you go ahead and you find some sanctimonious person, you find out he's lied to you. Essentially, he's not trustworthy. Why is he lying? The answer is that he's lying because he's a liar. And you don't trust a liar. You pretty well leave them well enough alone. You work on going ahead and, making sure that they're not in any position to cause any more trouble. And to do otherwise is essentially sending people who don't know what these people are. I mean, I've seen so many people that are new to the movement. Oh my God, everyone who believes the same way I do is wonderful. And then what happens is that they end up, being destroyed. That's my problem with what happened at Stormfront. You end up having Debbie Downey, and she hates me because I went ahead and I found out that she was a big old whore, an evil old whore. And I end up giving her the nickname of Clot, and she does not like it one bit. So as a result, me and Pastor Faber, we're banned from Storefront. If you actually go ahead and mention, put a link to my webpage or Visser's webpage, you will get banned as well. So how can you have unity in such a movement like that? And the answer is, you can't. And do you want unity? You do not. That's the one thing. We can't go ahead and, I end up calling these people jukels. Or liars and cowards and, whatever.
Pastor Linstead, I appreciate what the sister said, on the phone a moment ago. I think you should let her run your little gossip show.
The thing about it is she doesn't want to run my gossip show. I want to run my gossip show. If, as I said before, if people don't like what is said here, and that's been pretty well the big stink on Visser's forum. Essentially, if you don't like what I have to say, don't listen to it. If you don't like what I have to write, don't log in. But the thing about it is the very self-centered people here who are causing this trouble here, they're going to be listening, and they're going to be logging in. The reason they're going to be listening, the reason they're going to be logging in, is they're going to be sitting in fear, wondering what I'm going to be saying about. And, you know, I don't owe any obligation to someone. You know, I only owe an obligation to the truth. I don't owe an obligation to anybody with a pet, theory, because of some notion of unity. Unity is the last thing. Unity is, pretty well what destroys us here. But anyway, if you wish, you can go ahead and log on to my webpage at www.whitenationalist.org and then /forum. And if you wish to go ahead and disagree, well, you can. I mean, I don't censor anybody. I mean, I allow this character who I think is Trader Glenn Miller, a Trader Glenn Miller supporter, to log on to my forum. And he goes ahead and he leaves his little Trader Glenn Miller rat droppings. And what happens, the reason I like listening to it is at least I know what the hell Trader Glenn Miller is up to. So, no. I mean, this is a gossip show, and essentially, if you don't like my gossip show, don't listen to it. If you do like it, then listen to it. But essentially, the reason that people will be listening to it is because I go in and I call it like I see it. Okay? Hello? Anyway, it looks like Obadiah 83 hung up. I guess he didn't like what I had to say here. He had his own little agenda. And, I mean, come up with a stupid crap about how a quarter's honor and all this sort of thing. Well, what it boils down to is the young thugs who think they're tough want to go ahead and have a fight against older men who aren't as tough, so they can go ahead and kill them. And the fact of the matter is, you end up having something like that, you end up having the king appointing himself a champion, and the champion goes ahead and kills people. And, no. I mean, pretty well, this the name of this show is The Movement Turd. And, essentially, we go ahead and we call it as we see it. You still have a program? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm muted because I'm in the kitchen.
Oh, okay. Well, it looks like Obadiah, he wanted you to run. He wanted you to run you to run my show.
Yeah, I heard.
The thing about it is that you would run your show, and then I'd be a guest on it. What I mean?
Only I don't want a show. Thank you.
You want a show. That's pretty well what it boils down to. I don't know. I sort of smell the rat. And what it boils down to is, I don't want unity, but he does want unity. And what he wants is he wants all to get along here. Well, look, Rodney King, we're not going to get all along.
Well, I see this issue pop up, and it comes up in various places, sometimes mildly, sometimes very strong and heated. But I don't know how to get around the fact that you're in a situation where you've got to sort light from dark, and light and dark are not going to make it together. And a lot of people are programmed to want to get along all the time. Let's just be nice. Let the wolf sit there, and, we'll just get along and we won't argue. Well, that's probably more pleasant until the day the wolf stands up and decides to have you for lunch.
Yeah.
But it's, and like I said, unity with who and with what. You have to know who you're unifying with. And everybody who uses a name isn't necessarily that thing. So,
Well, you don't know who these people is. You don't know who these people are. What happens, let's say 055 Faber hadn't gone ahead and, played his little game and betrayed somebody or,
You know, essentially went ahead and broke his word. You know, the thing about it is the Sci-Fi would have been in trouble because he'd been associated with Hal Turner for so long, because guess what? I mean, you know, look, you idiot, you were used by Iraq. But the thing about it is by going ahead and trying to make yourself king, you didn't only alienate me. You alienated Visser down in Georgia. You went ahead and alienated, you know, this young man in Texas. You know, what happened to this guy in Tennessee? Was wondering, what is going on here? And so I told him. And what it boils down to is that, you know, and I gotta wonder, where does a young man of 28 get the money to go to all these places?
Yeah.
You don't know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, and this is for you. I don't know. I sort of smell rat. But, you know, I like to point out, you know, look, all you people can go ahead and, you know, that is the problem with, you know, Pastor Visser's forum. I mean, Brian Wright has been on for the third time.
I think he's having a meltdown. I looked at
some of his... I think he's having a meltdown, too.
I looked at some of his ramblings on VNN. I think he's having a meltdown.
Well, what happens is, my joke was, is the only one who's paid attention to, to Brian Wright is Alex Linder's pet Jew fascist. I mean, it's hilarious here. And that's the same thing with Obadiah 118. What happens is that, you know, essentially what happens is VNNF is running sort of like storefront. You're Chris Adetti. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to debate you. You're a tard. And what happens, Linder hates Chris Adetti. But here he goes and allows Obadiah 118 to go ahead and break all his little rules about calling people Jews without any proof. Well, what's the reason for it is that Obadiah is a complete CI tard. Able to go ahead and be whooped. And what happens is, for some reason, Obadiah is not banned. Obadiah could go right back to VNN. And what happens with Brian Wright, what happens is that, see, that's the problem with liars. That's the problem with liars is that, you know, I knew a real good liar in the Libertarian Party named Phil Horace. And what happens is, I said, Phil, why don't you go ahead and get on the internet? And he knew exactly what I meant. He said, no, I'm not going to get on the internet. And the reason he didn't want to get on the internet is that when you're telling a lie verbally, unless you have a tape recorder, in which case the liar ain't going to say something. I mean, a liar can go ahead and lie and say, I didn't say that. But you go ahead and you get on the internet, there's always somebody with a hard drive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and a print screen device to where you said that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when Phil Horace did get on the internet, I pretty well ripped him a whole new one. And the same way with Brian Wright. What happens is that, you know, here's Visser's admin, and, you know, Visser went ahead and said that his brother was a Fruit Loop. So, well, then why is he administering it? And here comes Brian Wright for the third time. And what happens is that Brian Wright, essentially, when we first ran him off on December 3rd, he had a place to run to. He had Randy Krager's Volksfront to run to. And I think pretty well what happens, they found out what a lying, you know, piece of amateur shit, you know, Brian Wright was.
Mm-hmm.
They kicked him out. So as a result, he don't have any place to go. And as a result, it's very likely that he is a little Zog acid because, Pastor Six Killer spent some money on these places to go ahead and find out where he lives.
Yeah.
And what happens is that he couldn't find out anything more than what you can get for free. And, you know, as a result, what happens is that someone's blocking his, you know, his information for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty well sure it's Salk. So here he is, and, you know, essentially he's despised here. He goes over on VNNF here, and, you know, publish a Manzer, Wesley's a Manzer, Wesley's less a Manzer, everybody's a Manzer but me. And what happens is that, you know, here's these tars, they're not smart enough to go ahead and do some, opposition research, but they know he's not right. And what happens is that they know there's a hook in it somewhere. And
well,
they're not
answering.
The
thing I noticed was he's not getting responses from anybody but the resident homosexual.
Well, except if you're Pastor Joseph G. Hubble, I'm over here. Well, I'm just hilarious because the only response the walker gets here is somebody's interested in Gordon Whacker. So I mean, it is sort of hilarious, you know, about how Brian Wright has fallen, but. In any case, what is this? This is 921, and you know who's Chris Sandani's show? Am I coming into anyway? Do you know?
Sword Brethren.
Who?
Sword Brethren. He and Will Fink are doing the Russia Bolshevik shows right now.
Okay. Well, I didn't know I was cutting into them here. I'm gonna go ahead and pretty well terminate the call because it's been on for about 3 hours.
Oh my goodness, Martin, you did it again. I came in late because I didn't see your announcement till late, so I'll have to listen to the earlier part of the show. I didn't hear Six Killer.
Well, what happens, I don't know how well he came over.
His connection was pretty bad.
Well,
all it was
my house phone on speakerphone.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very, very, very bad. He had to head out this morning, and I don't know. Maybe what happens is probably we'll do an unannounced show sometime when you're able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what'd you think of my theme song, Wigger Problem? Was you able to catch that?
No, I didn't hear it. I'll have to hear it on the download.
Anyway, I'm not going to go ahead and make anything more of it. What happens? Read and raved for a long time, essentially about what's going on Visser's forum.
Ah.
And there's nothing that's going to go ahead and amount to it because, essentially, what happens? These Jews and the Uyghurs are finding out, to their dismay, that you can't go ahead and take down somebody with nobody. I mean, everybody who's smart enough to figure out is that, well, hey, you know, you're trying to take down Pastor Lindstedt by means of some anonymous person who could be a Jew for all you know.
Yeah.
Who could be, you don't know who the hell these people are. And, you know, I've seen this, you know, throughout, you know, when I first came in the movement, this was a year or so before the internet took off. And it used to be if you were going to be a movement leader, you had to go ahead and show your name and your face and who you were. And it still works the same way today. You've got to go ahead and show who you are. You know, I mean, you can't go ahead and have any, you know, you can't have any people who's going ahead and doing something behind, you know, anonymous internet screen. And people believe that happens, and then, you know, it occurs here. But it also occurred to me when Miriam went ahead and rebelled against her brother Moses, and when Korah went ahead and rebelled against Moses, what were they possibly going to do with the power they got? And the answer is nothing. Was Miriam going to go ahead and leave the Israelites into Canaan or back to Egypt? The answer is no. Was Korah going to go ahead and leave the Israelites into Canaan or back to Egypt? The answer is no. They were people who wanted power but didn't have any idea of what to do with it. And that's the same thing with, you know, Sci-Fi Faber and Gerald, you know, O'Brien and the rest of them here. They have no idea what they're doing.
Well, you were saying, or even Obadiah was saying, there's a lot of variety in what you call Christian identity. And a lot of it's fake. People are in it for their own agendas or maybe they are agent provocateurs. There are others, I think, are in it sincerely, but they don't exactly see eye to eye on doctrinal issues. So,
well, they bring, like Pastor Six Killer bring. They bring in their Baptist notions. They bring in their Pentecostal notions, and then they get, you know, they're like California refugees. They go ahead and they bring the same stuff here that ended up going ahead and poisoning where they were at, and they want to go ahead and reestablish it in their new habitats, and the natives don't like that at all, and they're not going to put up with it.
Well, and also what people need to do, if they're sincere, okay?
Leaving
out the trolls and the Zogbots and everybody else, but say people who are sincere need to locate a teacher or a group that are copacetic with where they're at the moment. Mm-hmm. Just like I know you were in Pete Peter's church at one time. I went through him.
No. I never was at Pete Peter's church one time. Rather, I went there to go ahead and get baptized by him. But
okay.
Pete Peter's did, you know, Pete Peter's heard what I was dual feed line. He looked at me like, oh my God, here's a potential, snake.
My point being is that you need Yahweh to lead you because it's a progressive growth pattern here. And
yes.
If all you're ready for at the moment is Pete Peter's, that's where you should be. You shouldn't
be playing
in Martin Lindstedt's pond. You shouldn't be over playing in William Fink's pond. You should learn what you need to learn in Pastor Peter's pond, and when Yahweh's ready to move you out of there, he will.
Yeah, that's pretty well what I said about Pete Peter's. Is that Pete Peter's essentially, he wants to go ahead and shear his flock. He don't want to skin them. And what happens is I don't fight with Pete Peter's, even though he has his pet Jew named Charles Weissman, even though he has his nigger of the month. What happens is sooner or later the better bunch will go ahead and become dual seed line, and they'll be wanting to go ahead and leave Pete Peter's. And rather than have Pete Peter's screaming and hollering about something that, you know, he can't go ahead and change, Pete Peter's will just simply just let them go on, and he'll just go ahead and get his new, new little Osler milk fiber.
There will be at least some new people coming out of the Judeo-Christian churches coming to somebody like Pete Peter's, who for them is pretty extreme.
Yeah.
Okay. For them, he's pretty radical. If he would, if they listen to his older teachings, he's not teaching a lot anymore. He's working on music and teaching sermons on faith, which, while faith is a great topic, it's not, that's more of a Judeo-Christian kind of pulpit sermon.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's my point. You can't expect to take this collection of different people in different stages and doing different things and expect that they're all going to harmonize together beautifully, because they're not.
They're not, no. They're not. But I don't know. I mean, the problem of it is that whenever I detect a hint of sanctimony, or whenever I find somebody's lying, chances are, when I smell sanctimony, I smell a rat. And what I've done over the years, if I go ahead and I see a lie, I go ahead and pick on that lie, and I pick on that scab until that lie falls apart in many cases. And in some cases, very few cases, essentially what happens is that, it's just some thieb who thinks whatever he thinks here, and, there's nothing to it. But most of the time, if you go ahead and you pick on something long enough, what happens, the truth ends up getting revealed, and it's not pretty. I mean, that's pretty well how I found out about a number of people who were
infiltrators. My question about, and like I said, I really have not been reading these threads, okay? I've been busy, and I haven't been in the forums. And I've seen a few posts here and there flying around and all this stuff. And from what little I've seen, I have to wonder why somebody like this Obadiah 118, first of all, why would you consistently keep going to VNNF once you discover, number one, it's a hotbed of atheists and Christ-hating creatards and all of that? Why would you keep going there? And then why would you come over to another forum where also you're coming up against people who are, maybe they hold a little different viewpoint than you do, and continue to hammer away at that spot? Why would you not rather go out and seek people who are more like-minded as yourself? Do you understand what I mean?
Well, what I found out in the movement is that women, most women, I mean, you, to be honest with you, Pilgrim, you and Jessica, 1488, are, very, very few Christian identity females. Most of them who are in there to go ahead and aggrandize themselves, like Debbie Downey.
Mm-hmm.
They're there. And what happens is I've come up with what I call, is that most women are altogether left-wingers. And then they end up like Phyllis Schlafly here. What happens, there's not room enough in the left-wing
you know, movement here for all the women left-wingers. So then they go ahead and essentially they become little Phyllis Schlafly's or Ann Coulter's or Michelle Malkin's. And essentially what happens is they go ahead and espouse the, kosher conservative cause. And then they just yell and scream, and they're just essentially the left-wing liberals, but, you know, they're the left-wing females, but essentially what they're doing is that, you know, they're playing it behind a right-wing, you know, shtick, because essentially there's not enough room in the left wing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing, that's the same way with Maggie, her first name was Maggie, and pretty well I have a very good idea she came from North Mississippi. But, you know, essentially what boils down to is women, you know, women get to speak and prophesy and, you know, do this in church. And, you know, I mean, she went by the name of Gabby, you know, Gabrielle, and essentially her and Clint Downey were, you know, pretty well, you know, thick as thieves. And that was all that was left of Holy War. I've seen it occur. And you know, the main thing that occurs with these forums is that you end up going ahead and get somebody who's ostensibly female. Now, this Obadiah 118, what happens is that here she is, you go ahead, and, you know, I immediately, you know, I hear these people, I don't know who Brian Wright is. Okay, well, you know, shoot. I mean, you need to do a search here. I mean, this is the third time he's come on. Here, this time is Billy, you know, it's Billy Wood, but this is the third time he's been on this particular form of Vissers. And
well,
the reason I'm
very here, obsessed. He goes away for a long time, then he comes back. Then he goes away and he comes back.
He comes back, and it's as if, you know, what happened is what was normal was when we drove him off on December 3rd, 2008. He ran off. That was normal behavior, but what happens is that he's lost pretty well contact, and what I think is that he's just a professional little mamster criminal who essentially is being, you know, told is that, guess what, we caught you, we did something with that, or we're going to go ahead and let your brother out of prison if you go ahead and narc for us here. You got to realize that, you know, Ruby Ridge occurred essentially because Zog was trying to go ahead and set up Randy Weaver as a foreman on Aryan Nations.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever went to one of these rallies, and chances are I'm not ever going to go to any more again. You know, I mean, see, the younger people, they want to have their little mini Nurembergs, but what it ends up boiling them down to is less than 2,000 white activists here, usually dressed up in uniform, you know, wanting to go ahead, and essentially you end up having about 100 pigs separating you from about 400 or 500 niggers and mamzers screaming and hollering at you. And essentially it's just a scream fest here for monkeys is about what it boils down to. But what gets me is that, you know, here's the cops. The cops are, you know, I can't really describe it, but when you're there, the cops are looking at less than 24 white people as if they are the big threat. And what happens, you end up having 400 yelling, screaming niggers, and the cops are turning their back, and they're keeping an eye on you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why is that? And the answer of it is that what happens, the cops understand that if they end up losing control of the white people, what little, you know, is there, their society is going to go ahead and it's not going to stand, it's going to fall apart, and then they're going to end up being the ones killed.
Well,
by both the niggers and, you know, by both the niggers and the white nationalists. And that is why the cops are scared, more scared of less than 24 white people. You know, I mean, I went up there, Roxy was the only, you know, was the only female there, except for, well, there was this European, you know, film crew. And, you know, I met Linder. And Linder is a total coward.
He's still gone.
He
still hasn't posted. It's been over 3 weeks.
3 weeks now. And pretty well, that was another thing I probably really would have said is that, pretty well, I'm starting to rumor that, what happens is that I went ahead and asked this, guy here, and, you know, here's the thing. Linder hasn't posted for 3 weeks. I'll probably post a poll. Is Linder in San Francisco getting his gay bowel syndrome taken care of? Or is he, you know, is he in New York having his colostomy bag retainer, you know, platinum plated? or what? Is Linder dead?
You're bad, and, Martin.
You know, and the thing about it is Linder hasn't showed up for, you know, for over 3 weeks. And that's the longest he's been absent from what I gather.
Well,
so
you know,
he's probably pretty sick.
And it's funny though, you know, when I was at VNN posting for gosh, close to 2 years, Linder was almost never in that forum. And the only
almost never
when I was there, except when he suddenly got the bug to start banning everybody. And then he'd show up and he'd pop in and, you know, say, "You misspelled words. I told you not to. You're banned." You know, stuff like that.
You're banned.
That.
Yeah, you're banned. Yeah. And what happens is that he went ahead and banned people. But just like, you know, I probably didn't have time. I went ahead and covered this. Is that essentially these forums, like, you know, Original Dissent and Bombing Society, they end up having a whole bunch of Zogbots on there. And here they are scared that I am data mining by means of a embedded JPEG, you know, connected to my... You idiots! You have Franco, you have Rounder, who is essentially Trader Glenn Miller's main one here, and you are worried about me embedding somehow a message to data mine. Look, you know, Linder has obviously data mined, and he went ahead and on December 15th, he went ahead and testified against Bill White.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and then what does he do? Is he goes ahead and he tries to go ahead and exchange, you know, deflect attention from them. So this guy named Greg Johnson is a homosexual, and they find some little dweeb here who's, you know, who's gay as a $3 bill, and they go ahead and post him. And then, you know, here comes this Greg Johnson, the real Greg Johnson says, "Well, Morris Gillette, you know, Morris Dees ought to sue you for all you got." Well, Morris Dees ain't gonna sue Linder for all he's got, because essentially Linder is run through Trader Glenn Miller. And anybody who has any brain should understand that. But this Obadiah 118 shows up, and essentially he's Linder's favorite CI tart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what happened, what gets me is that you go ahead and read this stuff, and of all people, Steve B, he catches it here. You know, I mean, what is this? Is this a gender, you know, this is a gender bender. And essentially that's what Obadiah 118 is. You go ahead and he or she hides behind that here and, you know, thinks sort of like a female thinks, but then I used to watch porn pretty heavy. Well, you know, how many women watch porn on the internet real heavy?
Not that many.
But what happens is that here you go, and what happens, this character doesn't seem to realize it, but, you know, I mean, this is serious gender bendering. And, you know, so I'm going ahead and says that, you know, what happens is that, look, if you're going to go ahead and head them back to EOM, if you're going to go ahead and follow Obador, you know, Obaliar, Obadork 666 back to Egypt, you ought to go ahead and look, you know, look under the tail before you set out on the journey. So, you know, you don't know who these people are.
Yeah, but you have to remember, anyway, a lot of these people aren't accustomed to thinking that way. That's why... You know, I think Jeff and James are just, and I know Matthew Ott, you know, I know Matthew Ott's a good guy. And
well, I think Matthew is a good guy.
But I don't think they're used to, you see, like, I've been hanging around these forums now. I'm no expert, but I've been hanging around between Hal Turner and these forums for a number of years now.
Uh-huh.
And if you are not accustomed to thinking in terms of, you know, enemies like that, stealth enemies coming in, playing games and everything, you tend to take people at face value, because it's just your knee-jerk reaction. You know, that's just the way
you're built.
It's the way people are, you know?
It's because white people are honest themselves, and they don't go ahead and see snakes.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing about James and Jeff, an old Jew or something like that, you know, I'm calling them Jew the Goof, and I'm pretty well insulting them pretty hard. The thing about it is that in many cases, like I went ahead and told them, is that why are you here? Because essentially what you're doing is you're bringing in stuff that isn't dual seed line Christian identity. And, you know, John Britton, he's had the advantage. He has a disadvantage in that John doesn't really understand the converts so well. You know, because, well, hey, I didn't start out being dual seed line, although, you know, I was raised up in Herbert Armstrong's church here, which was sort of Christian identity.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is that, on the other hand, he goes ahead and he's seen at a young age all these people who show up who essentially they go in there and then they insist that the church has to change to go ahead and meet you know, their Baptist or their Pentecostal notions that they brought into Christian, you know, brought into Christian identity.
Yeah.
And what they are is they're just like California natives. And then they have a fit because guess what? Well, no, there is no actual scriptural injunction against using four letter Anglo-Saxon words. You know, now, and then they go ahead and act like, you know, this program is nothing but a, you know, series of obscenities dragged on. Well, the fact of the matter is that I listened to my, you know, last podcast, and what I ended up doing, what it embarrassed me, wasn't, you know, the four letter words. I don't remember if I hearing very many of them.
I don't remember.
What embarrassed me was I said essentially and basically as pretty well filler words.
Yes.
And that is a nervous habit I do have a tendency to make, and what I did is that I went ahead and got both computers running and ready to set up, and you know, had the little Dave Ball's thinking problem that I changed to, I do believe I got a wigger problem. That's going to be the theme, you know, theme song of this particular one here. And I'll end up having my own lyrics, and maybe someday I'll learn how to play the guitar so I can go ahead and strum along, you know, that and a few other things. But anyway, that's the problem. They go ahead. Now, you know, if they go ahead and bring this here, I mean, are they sincere liars, or are they just liar liars? And you don't know who or what, you know, who or what they are. But you end up catching them. You end up catching them in a lie. And you know, the thing about it is that if you go ahead and try to impose your will, well, you've got to not insult females. You've got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, you are going to have a armed physical struggle. And the thing about it is that in the early Anglo-Saxon world or something like that, you end up having that. You know, there were no police. So what happens? You end up having a blood feud. Usually, what would happen is that these people who started this stuff without reason would end up being killed. And pretty well, that's the same thing. What happens is that Yahweh, you know, the 40 years in the wilderness was one of Yahweh's first eugenics programs. Essentially, it was a mixed multitude that left Egypt, but it was not a mixed multitude 40 years later, which crossed into Canaan. It was a highly homogenous, divided into 13 tribes of people who efficiently could go ahead and set up camp and strike camp. It was a migration. It was a very efficient migration of a very homogeneous society on the march, which went ahead and overran the land of Canaan and run these people out and killed them all. And the same way when, you know, the Israelites were deported to Assyria. You didn't have any Jews. You didn't have any Jews. No Jews could go ahead and make it as a farmer, or as a rancher, or as a, you know, as a horseman. And as a result, that was Yahweh's second major eugenics program. And you know, the thing about it is all these people with their little lint head or Baptist notions trying to go ahead and force other white men. Well, you know, that's the way it is. If you don't like it, you're going to go ahead and go out. I mean, look, James and Jeff, you're not going to get anywhere with this. Because essentially you're not going to go ahead and say who you are. So, you know, why is that? So you're lying, and, you know, why are you lying? Are you a Baptist, or, you know, are you a Baptist hobbyist, or, you know, linthead, you know, playing Christian identity, or are you a spy? But it doesn't matter, because you don't get to go ahead and tell. You know, Christian identity is what it is. So I got this guy named Apollonian. He goes ahead and he tries to go ahead and convince me that I ought to change Christian identity as if I can to suit his notions. And, you know, Apollonian, it's not going to happen. And no, James and Jeff and Juth, Christian identity isn't going to change to fit your
liking. So what happens is that you can either go ahead and have your own little bit of heresy and do whatever the heck you want to. I'll buy your own. Or you can run off, or you can go ahead and just simply live with the fact that Christian identity is what it is. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's actually what with Emma Heiser and Fink, actually Christian identity is pretty well undergoing some doctrinal changes, which have been the biggest changes since Bertrand Comperet went ahead and codified it, with his works back in 1967 or 1968,
mm-hmm.
in the AIT thing. And I'm not really a scriptural pastor. I'm really a political pastor, a political organizer. And essentially, I don't go ahead and tell people something different, here. But anyway, I actually wanted to go ahead and, talk at length. And essentially, this Obadiah 83, I think, was pretty well a ringer who comes in. I don't all gear trust him. But anyway, pretty well myself. Well, Barry's about to die, and it's been 3 hours.
You need to get a landline,
Martin. 3.5 hours. No, I do have a landline. That's what he was calling at here. Whatever, this is a brand new cell phone. I can get it working real good just by simply doing that. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and say this is episode number 2 of the Movement Turn, and we're going to go ahead and sign off. So
okay.
Goodbye, everybody who's listening on.
Good night.
Bye-bye.